Blog Talk Radio.
We have to believe that this is where we're supposed to be right now.
And you can only be a hero to one woman at a time.
Just a kiss on your lips in the moonlight. Just a touch of the fire burning so bright. No, I don't want to mess this thing up. No, I don't want to push too far. Just a shot in the dark that you just might be the one I've been waiting for my whole life. So baby, I'm alright. But just a kiss.
You know I love you.
I love you too.
Not a princess, this ain't a fairy tale. I'm not the one you'll sweep off her feet, lead her up the stairwell. This ain't Hollywood, this is a small town. I was a dreamer before you and I let me down. Now it's too late for you and your white horse to come around.
We have a connection, it's just the way it is.
I don't know what the hell we've been doing the last few years. Above all others, you belong with me.
I will make you pay for hurting Jason. It's going to happen. You've got payback coming, and I'm going to love watching it land on you.
Lady Daytime After Dark. It's Friday the 13th. Yeah, I know. Friday the 13th. Okay, that is just a little freaky day for me. I just think something is going to go wrong tonight. Oh, today, but it hasn't. And tonight, we will be talking to the most, you know, handsome, one of the most sexiest guys on B&B, Justin Barber, who the actor is Aaron D. Spears, and you guys love him on B&B, and he's been on so many other really good primetime shows, too, like Castle and a lot of those, and so I will bring him on in a moment. I just want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. Hi everyone in the chat room. Hi Muffet. Hi to my co-host for tonight. Revenge Castellanos here. There won't be any Raise on Radio tonight, so I will be doing 2 hours of Carly. No, I'm kidding, people. But yeah, you're stuck with me all night, people. So just love it or hate it. Okay. I will be bringing on Aaron in now, and I will be bringing on Tiana. Hey, Tiana.
Hey, how are you, Carly?
Good. Okay, we are bringing on Aaron now and doing the interview. And he will be taking you calls. You guys, if you have any questions for him in this album, let us know. And here is Mr. Aaron from B&B.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I am doing excellent. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Great.
Excellent.
Like I said in the intro, you know, you've been on B&B since 2009, which I'm happy about. I love Justin. I love him. I love him when he's being good. But when you're being bad, oh, Justin, when you're being bad, it's good, too. I mean, okay, do I agree with every little bad thing you've done? No. But, you know, first of all, how did you get to get on B&B in the first place?
You know, B&B was one of those experiences where the industry was going through an influx and a change, and there was this role that came up on the Bold and the Beautiful. And I took a look at it, and I looked at what he encompassed, and I told myself, hey, this is a good role. I had never really done daytime in the type of capacity that I've done it with Bold and Beautiful. I had done some stints on Sunset Beach, which was a while back at General Hospital. But I said, you know, I would love to take my hand at daytime. I personally don't know why there is a different stigma between daytime and prime time. The only difference I can see is the amount of money maybe that advertising is spent to promote prime time as opposed to daytime. But that kind of led me down that path, and once I got in, I could see the work that was being done, the number of pages that were being poured out. Ended up having a cool relationship with the owner of the show, Brad Bell, through several different auditions, and lo and behold, two auditions later, I was on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a really good move on B&B's part to bring you on. I love what Justin brings to, you know, B&B, and I love you and Don DeMont. You and Bill have this funny but serious little back and forth thing, which I find hilarious. I mean, you will do anything for him with, you know, in a way, it's very bad because I was a big Donna and Justin. I fell in love with you guys. I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And when you guys got divorced, when you guys were not that married for that long, I was heartbroken for you because I just thought they could have just gave you guys more of a try. I mean, did you feel that way, or how did you feel about that?
You know, that's a good question. I do get asked that quite often. I love the banter that me and Bill have. Don DeMont, who plays Bill Spencer, is an amazing not only person but actor. You know, it's always good to be around good company. You have a tendency to come into a show like that that's been around for now 25 years, and a person like Don, who's been on Young and the Restless for 23 years, and been bringing all of that experience to this entirely different character, and just being able for myself to sit back as a sponge and watch and intake all of this knowledge and expertise that he's had over 23 years, it was very beneficial for me as an actor. Just to see how he maybe digests the material, how he has the freedom to change various things, the reason he changes them. So a lot of what we have been able to create may have been written, but at the same time, it may not have been written. It may have been things that him as a veteran to the Bell family had the privy to change, to add, you know, to spark certain angles that we could exercise. And when we look at the Donna and Justin situation, yes, well, you know, that was my wife. You know, I as an actor, you always are looking for things that you can dive into, to sink your teeth into. I enjoyed the marriage. I enjoyed the courtship. You know, of course, I felt like both could have been longer. I wish I would have had time to kind of engage my wife, to, you know, court her after we married. You know, we had very limited reactions and very limited interactions, I should say, once we got married. You know, I made such a big deal about wanting a son and then finally getting a son and then marrying the woman of my dreams that left so many years ago, and it kind of just didn't go anywhere from there. But it did garner a pretty solid fan base. Fans did seem to like the characters together. So who knows what the future holds? You know, Mr. Bell is very creative, and I'm hoping he will run with some interesting storylines in the future.
I mean, I could really be in trouble for what I'm about to say, but I'm always in trouble, Justin. So, I mean, oh, well, but you know what? The chemistry you also have with Katie on there, too, when you guys have it in scenes, oh, really good. I'm not saying that you know, to go after Bill's wife, even though Bill hasn't really treated Katie really good, in my humble opinion. But, you know, you are going to need someone to fall in love with. And I just think, you know, you and Bill are so good with sticking together and everything. But I think you guys need a little fight. I mean, you guys are like Jason and Sunny from General Hospital. You guys,
yeah, that's good. I think it'd be great if Justin went after Katie, because it would really set more into motion with the rivalry. I think it.
Yeah.
Plus, it'll send, you know, a lot between, you know, it'll set it up between Katie and Donna as sisters. I mean, there's always resentment in those kind of situations.
You know, That is so funny that you guys would say that, and that it's the soaps. You never know what's going to happen. It is saying that.
I mean, I just,
saying that is not even far fetched. You know what I mean? It's something that could definitely happen. It would definitely cause friction between me and Bill. Oh my gosh, we would be up in arms. Here lately, there's some feistiness coming up. I don't know exactly what part of the country you guys are in. And what storyline they're on at present. But it's definitely some fire coming back from Justin's side. I think at one point,
good.
You know, he's definitely his friend, and he's definitely, you know, in cahoots with whatever it is he's doing. But at some point, it's like, come on, Bill, you're doing stupid stuff. And I'm firing back at him. We get into it, little spats and so forth here and there. So they're writing some interesting stuff, and Actually, the episodes that we shot last week had a little fire to them, and we're going to see what's going to happen this coming week. I have some other episodes coming up. So, you know, I'm still plugging away with the daytime thing, and I also am going to be actually leaving on the 21st of April. Yeah, I'm going to be doing another show for BET called Being Mary Jane with Gabrielle Union. So, you know, it's about work. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. And I've talked to Brad. We're still going to keep me coming on B&B. I'm going to be doing the thing on BET as well. And I'm just going to try to bring as much fire and heat to the television set as I can.
Now, Aaron, are you still doing your spoken word poetry?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question as well. That's what sustained me when I first moved to Los Angeles. It's not that I'm not doing it. What I found is that it's a lot easier to do it the more recognition you garner on the silver screen. It makes that poetry trek just that much easier. I have a tendency to do a lot of soundtracks for movies, like title tracks and so forth, because when I do movies, I usually have asked if I could submit a track to the soundtrack. And fortunately, they've picked up maybe, I think I've done like 4 or 5. So, yeah, it's one of those things, the love that's within inside of me, and I really enjoy doing it.
I was doing some background on some of the stuff that, you know, that you've accomplished in the last 5 years, and I'm amazed. I mean, you're all over the place. I mean, I guess you have your own production company, too. I mean.
Totally. You really kind of have to be. Ever since the writer's strike came, the industry changed drastically.
Oh,
You know, being it really affected a lot of things. And being an actor, it's hard to sit back and wait for the phone to ring. You know, I'm not by any means discouraging any young actor that is coming or moving to L.A. or New York or what have you to try to pursue their dreams, but it really is a different industry from when I joined. It really is a lot tougher. A lot of the now movie stars are doing television, where when I started, that wasn't the case. Television was kind of your entry point. You were allowed to come in, get your chops up, and if you moved on to film, great, in terms of speaking of major motion pictures on the silver screen, because you always have an opportunity to do independent film, but now the major stars of A-list movies are now doing television, and it has changed the dynamic of television. Now they're vying for names, for everything, guest spots, co-star spots. You're like, dude, can I get in? Can I fit in somewhere? Let me in, you know? So it is tough, but, you know, I have a tendency to put a lot of fires or a lot of pots in different stoves, and blessedly they've come to fruition, so I'm not complaining. I'm just going to keep on pushing. And, you know, I don't want to be in that box. I don't want to be the actor that you see one way and that's all you see me as. I want to be able to play the gamut, go across the board, and, you know, to challenge myself.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, the bio strike did change a lot of things for a lot of actors. I mean, for the viewers, I mean, it felt like the world stopped in a way because nothing new was coming out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was a bad thing because I think that's where you got more of the reality TV shows coming out more.
Yeah.
And which was a bad thing because, I mean, I've seen you on Castle and NCIS and, you know, Bones and Criminal Minds. And would you like to go back to do more of that part? I mean, would you like to
I can tell because of now having this coming July, this three-year experience with daytime television, if you can do daytime television and make it real and make it believable and make it heartfelt, you can do anything. Because the number of pages we go through and the number of, takes that we do, man, it prepares you for everything. Auditioning after doing daytime is nothing because we're doing all of these pages, and then we usually have one take. Don't get me wrong. If we mess up or, you know, some technical things go wrong, we'll do it again. But if you get it right the first time, guess what? We're moving on. So it has a tendency to make you focus. It makes you really sink in and say, you know what? All I really have to do is get this right one good, solid time, and we can move on. And those words are history. You don't have to worry about that in terms of memorizing.
That's what I was going to ask you, too. I mean, you know, you have days and Central Hospital and Y&R being an hour, and you guys is, you know, a half an hour. So I always thought, I mean, and when I'm watching it, I'm like gay into it. I'm so gay into the moment. Everything is great. Everything 20 minutes into it, 15 10, and then it's a half an hour, and it's gone for the day. Yeah. How did you, I mean, are you guys working as much as you will be doing an hour format, or just because you guys are a half an hour, is it less?
That's a good question as well. Now, I've gotten asked that quite often, and I've actually had a chance to ask some of the people that have either come over from Y&R or Days of Our Lives or any other show.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that when you're doing an hour show, yes, the show is on an hour, but we also need to also remember that there are twice as many cast members, twice as many storylines. So your screen time is technically around the same because it's only twice as many people, twice as much time to actually air that particular episode. So I've noticed that a lot of people that have come from other shows and come to B&B, they've been ecstatic about the amount of screen time they've been able to get, the amount of press that they've been able to get. It's just a different beast when you're speaking about the world as opposed to just speaking about the United States. And that's what I had to kind of wake myself up to. I didn't realize the reach that the Bold and the Beautiful had when it came to the world. I mean, you know, you're getting tweeted from people in Greece and Australia, Milan. I mean, it's just like, wow. You know, I'm like, sometimes you're floored. And, you know, there's storylines in different countries are airing at different times, and they're at different portions of how maybe Justin or any other character is being rolled out. So sometimes you see an influx in maybe texts or tweets or on Facebook, and you're like, man, I haven't even been on in a month or whatever. You know? And then you remember, this is coming from France, or this is coming from Belgium, or this is coming from Australia. And then you kind of slap your head and like, oh, wow, that's what it is. Okay, Justin must be really doing some stuff in that storyline over there at that particular time. You know?
Yeah, because, you know, for, like, overseas and Australia, and Australia, B&B is very popular, I've learned. And,
yeah.
Like, yeah, and Paris and stuff.
And
I think you guys need to go on another little Paris or Rome or whatever, because I believe it would do really good for you guys. And I think as actors, you guys should be able to see the rest of the world while working. And, you know, I think that would be good. And would you like us to fight more for you to get more of a bigger storyline? Because, would...
I say always to that. You know why? Because the more storyline you have, and it's not, for me, it's not just a, ooh, I want to be on screen more. You know, I'm always trying to be the best person, actor, producer that I can possibly be. So by having more storyline, it just allows me to sharpen my tool that much more. Yes, I would love to be more part of B&B. You know, at present, that's kind of the position that they have us in, and I totally agree with you in terms of going on location to various different spots. We have been doing more on location things, and actually I think in the works is something to visit an upcoming country, whether it be Australia, Italy, or someplace else. I know they are, you know, speaking of shooting something on location, which is, I hear Italy is just insane. I mean, it's just wow. You know?
I
would love to be able to go.
I know a couple times when they had, I think it was Ron Moss and Catherine Kelly Ling, and maybe it was Susan and John McCook too, went to Italy, and they were treated like a royalty over there. And I think that was like in the 90s, if I remember correctly, because it's just so insanely popular. And that's probably going to keep Bold and the Beautiful on the air longer than even The Young, the Restless. But, I think because the revenue coming in and the popularity, that it's going to be around a while.
Yeah, very true. That is a good analyzation of the whole picture of Bold and the Beautiful. And that is the beauty of the show. That is the nest egg, so to speak, the mainstay. It's a worldwide success. And once you have, and I think by us being in the United States, we have a tendency to look at the United States as this, you know, this larger-than-life character. And don't get me wrong, the United States is great for what it is and what it provides, but the world is far larger than what the United States can provide. Because of that, that will keep Bold and Beautiful on the air a lot longer than any other soap. If there's going to be one soap that remains, in my mind, I think it will be the Bold and Beautiful simply because of their worldwide success and the popularity that they have in over 120 countries. I mean, that's just insane.
120 countries, wow.
Yeah.
I can't even name 120 countries.
Yeah, you and me both. It's crazy. You know, it really is crazy. I was looking at some figures. It was staggering, and I don't want to misquote, but I know it was in the millions, and if I'm correct, double-digit millions of people that watch every day. I think it was like 36 million people a day. That's like, whoa, dude. Like, that's crazy, man. You know, so you you do have a worldwide appeal, and some people have can make a living by going to a country that is 2 years behind and still using that to possibly garner interviews or, you know, signings or what have you, to be able to still make a living if they're no longer on the show in the States. So it does provide a traveling, I guess, platform to still kind of explore and have that quote-unquote royal treatment, as you spoke about when they went to Italy, you know. Very interesting.
Let me ask you a question, Aaron. Now, yes. Is it like, you know, I know just hearing you talk and your experience over the last 3 years, you said you have an immense respect for daytime as a genre, and if you could do that, you could do anything. Does it discourage you, looking at the treatment that Bold and the Beautiful and other soaps receive around the world, does it discourage you that in the United States that daytime is still looked down upon, where in the rest of the world it's embraced as being, you know, a key genre, and everybody, you know, everybody admits to watching it, where in the United States it's kind of, you know, there's a stigma to it. I mean, is that discouraging as an actor with worldwide fame?
You know, it is. It's something that's very surprising, because coming into this, I had no recollection of that. I only knew it to be acting, and I was thinking it was the same approach, the same respect level. They took all of it as this one big TV thing, and I found out very quickly that it wasn't that, when you're trying to be on the cover of some magazine and make, like, your daytime, like, whatever. You know, it is sad, because I see a direct example of how it can work in the United States, because if you look at every other country that daytime television comes on, and I'm speaking mainly in terms of Bold and the Beautiful, given that it's the number one in the world, it comes on during prime time hours in other countries. So then my mind directly and immediately goes to, why wouldn't you, even if it's a repeat, why wouldn't you repeat the daytime television in some time slot in the evening? Because most of the people TiVo it or tape it and watch it in the evening anyway. So you already have a platform. Yeah, you already have a platform where you have evidence that it works in a prime time slot. If you put the same amount of advertising and promotions into it that you did any CSI or Criminal Minds or what have you, any other primetime show, I don't see why it wouldn't work, because you still have fans till this day. And now it's unfortunate, and you spoke of this as well, in terms of phasing out a lot of daytime shows for reality TV, cooking shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It is sad.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Cyro in the album asked you if you could do anything for a career, like, would you ever go into, like, politics, or would you want to do more movies,
probably probably wouldn't do politics. And the reason I wouldn't do politics is because you have to put up so many different facets of yourself, whether they're true or false, to appease certain groups. At some point, I feel like you can get lost because of the various different the numbers of people you're trying to please. Politics probably wouldn't be one of them. I'm going to continue acting. I'm looking forward to doing more producing, working on a project currently called A Pawn in the Game that we're producing and putting together and bringing together the different pieces and elements to make that come to fruition. There was another profession outside of acting. Prior to me acting, all I pretty much had to do was say yes to a fireman position. It was one of those jobs where I feel you could help people, you could make decent money. You had days on end that you were off, as well as days on end that you were working. So I figured at some point that could be beneficial. That's kind of where I was leaning prior to, I guess, getting bit by the bug that so many people get bitten by. You know, I think acting is just one of those things where it kind of expands you not only as an actor but as a person. It allows you to live different lives. It allows you to be not judgmental of various different individuals that other people may be judgmental of. It's hard to be a character if you're judging the character. You have to get into the psyche of what is allowing that person to be that. And you become that. You learn to be as opposed to act. Once you begin to be, then the judgment goes to the wayside and you get into all the intricacies of what makes that person tick. And you have, just like when you see a character that may be bad or evil, but it's just something about that person that's so humanistic that's being portrayed by that particular actor that you find yourself liking them. As much as you can't stand them, you like them. You know, it's that humanistic quality that if you can bring that out, then it's beauty. It's beauty in that. It's magic in that. And that's where people get caught. That's the bug that's biting you. You're interacting with another actor and you can just really feel the magic. When they call cut, it's like, wow, that was something else. Because very seldom do we have a chance to live outside of who we currently are. Do we have a chance to reinvent ourselves, so to speak? You always had that chance every maybe so 4 years when you went to a new high school or a new middle school or went to college. You can leave your old persona behind and create this whole new person. But, you know, as an actor, you kind of get to do that and step into different shoes every day. So you can let your hair down. You can be wild and crazy. Well, that was the character. That may be an aspect of you that you've been waiting to let loose for who knows how many years, and you finally got a chance to let it loose. You know, so it is a sense of freedom, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you are exactly right. How did you feel about being one of the youngest grandfathers, probably on daytime? I'm not saying you are probably the youngest, but you and Donna are really young. You know, I mean, yeah, you had your son when you guys were teenagers, but now you guys have a, you know, grandkid. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, how is it working with Marcus? And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I really enjoy that we're grandfathers. You know, for me, I just want to interact more with my family. That's what I want to do. I think there's so much richness in what can be divulged with that relationship with Marcus, the relationship with my grandchild. You know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you look at it, you know, a lot of times there aren't a lot of people of color represented on any show, let alone The Bold and Beautiful. And I think Brad has taken tremendous steps in trying to change that over the last 25 years and bringing about storylines and individuals to be on the show to speak volumes to the masses. A couple of things that have touched me to almost to tears is when you see people that have been watching the show for so many years and they're 70 or, you know, they're our elder, and they come up to you with tears in their eyes because now there's somebody on their favorite show that represents them, that they relate to, and they begin to tell you these stories, man. It's like, I got to do everything I can to keep from crying. You know, it's like, it's so humbling, man. It's just like, wow, it's like, it's such a blessing. So I know that those storylines and those story points will be very poignant with a large number of people. You know, me being a young granddad and actually being a part of my grandchild's life, being a part of my son's life, and those dialogues that can go on in between them. I think there's so much that can be exercised considering that I wasn't there when Marcus grew up, and then I became a part of his life, and then possibly the fact that I'm not necessarily angry, but don't understand why you want this other man to be your father. And from that, arguments can spark, and love comes out of that, tears immerse. It's tons of things, you know, from my perspective. But once again, it's not my show. My job is to go on,
That's the type of writing that people want to see, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
they do. I mean,
family drama, I mean, that's just, that's the stuff that has sucked people in for 25, 30 years, you know? Not the alien abductions, right. And the bed hopping, and, you know. That's...
You're so right. I mean, you're speaking volumes to so many other people that I know I hear from quite often that agree with you 200%. You know, sometimes you have to kind of let it go in that you can't, I can't worry myself to the point that I get frustrated. You know, I just, what I try to do is just be the best person off camera that I can be when I'm at work, and making sure I have a good camaraderie with the people that I work with, including, of course, the owner of the show. Without, for me, it's important to not be fake and not be kissy buddy. I'm not a kissy buddy person. You know, I'm very just down to earth, and I'm very real. And for me, I connected with, you know, Brad on a humanistic level. It wasn't a employer-employee type thing. You know, although he is my employer and I am his employee, I like to have the relationship with him more on a common ground of, I'm a human being, you're a human being, I have a family in real life, so do you. And where do we meet as men? Where do we meet as husbands? Where we meet as individuals that just happen to have this common bond called the bold and the beautiful. So what you're saying in terms of bringing light to those stories that drew people in for 25 years, you're so true. And the beauty of the show for those 25 years, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, is Miss Lee Phillips, who was a talk show host. She was huge in Chicago.
Yep.
And her husband was the writer that was writing for these shows. And I'm assuming over, you know, nap time or bid time or dinner time, a lot of these stories got shared on what she was speaking about in her daily talk show life, and those became the storylines for The Young and the Restless, for The Bold and the Beautiful. And that's why it was so relevant.
Yeah.
People like, man, it's like this is going on in real life, and then they're addressing this on the show, and it just captured people. So I think that is something that definitely needs to continue. And I think we also need to expand. We also need to reach into the Marcuses, the Justins, you know, and bring about the family that has now been created.
Yep.
Let me and Donna actually have a conversation about why we broke up, why we're not together. You know, me and my son, man, let it rip. Cuss me out if you got to, you know?
And, you know, I mean, and, you know, for them to give you a family like they did speaks volumes. I mean, you know, I mean, for that crossover to happen, for the wedding, to have Olivia come over for the wedding, I think you should go over to Young and the Restless. I mean, I believe, you know, those crossovers are really good. And you guys, what I love about B&B is you guys are in the fashion industry. I mean that's what draws a lot of people, is the really good fashion, the really nice house. You know, I mean, even though we really haven't seen where you live. I mean, I believe you live at the office, sorry, because
You're so right. It's funny that you say that, because I've actually had this discussion. To me, Justin has an incredible outline. Now it just needs to be filled in with as much incredible stuff. Because, man, the outline and the dynamic that's been set up for that particular character, to me, is really amazing in that. He was married. He has a son. He's a grandfather. He also has a cousin that is related as on Y&R. I mean, the character can go across shows back and forth, have people from Y&R come off the boat and Butte, and vice versa, and just create this synergy between cast members, between actors. I think it just he brings this great he's like a unity piece. I see him, you know, he's always advising Bill on what he's doing wrong, what he's doing right, but he also has the capability of crossing that line between the two shows, bringing the two shows even more closer together, as well as giving characters that may be on a down storyline from Y&R an opportunity to come to B&B, and vice versa. When I'm down on B&B, maybe I'm visiting my cousin on Y&R. I think things like that really spark the interest of people watching daytime. They're like, wow, this is exciting. This is different. This is new, you know?
I mean, it is, because, I mean, especially with B&B, I find myself drawn into the whole rivalry with the Forresters and the Spencers and you, because, you know, the fashion line and, you know, I mean, you know, if you cannot get with Katie, maybe you need to get with Pam, because, hey, I just think that would be hilarious, because Pam's kind of out there, but, you know, you are working, you are working with...
Pam and Donna, we're always fighting, right?
Yeah.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I've had a lot of people come up to me, either come up to me or on blogs or what have you. They want me to get with Taylor. I've been hearing a lot with Taylor. I've heard the Katie thing, because it brings up the stir between me and Bill, or Bill ends up getting with Donna or something that's going to cause me and Bill to really have it out, you know. I think it's something crazy is coming. I think the more that I continue to be on the show and indulge into the character, as well as do other things. That's the one thing I can really say. I do give them big props for setting up the outline they have for Justin. I also give them big props for allowing the actors that so choose to reach outside of the box of daytime in order to bring attention back to the box of daytime. They never discourage anyone from doing anything outside of daytime, whether it's a movie, whether it's another television show. Brad is smart enough to know that if I allow you to go and do, and you come back, that's just bringing that audience right back to me, back to my established fan base, you know? That's very ingenious.
Do you have, like, a favorite person, one of your co-stars you hang outside when you're not doing B&B? Because, I mean, you don't get to work with every cast member, and, I mean, I still think that you and Eric need to have more of a little, you know, storyline, because, you know, he was, you know, he took the role as Marcus's father when you were not there, because you really did not know about him. But I just think, you know, I mean, I think you need to, like, hit Stephanie. I know it's bad to hit a woman. I know that. But Stephanie, I mean, I would love to see, you know, you and Stephanie just go at it, because I think that would be funny. And, because basically you do everything for Bill, and he would not, you know, be the one, you know, in trouble. It would be you,
you're right. You know, Susan Flannery, who plays Stephanie, is a really good person and actress. Every time she sees me, she always spreads positive love my way. Catherine Kelly Lane the same way. Ron Moss the same way. Eric, it is, you know how you hear people say, you know, like, okay, this is just some old fluff that you're feeding the media. Well, it's a great place to work and everybody's so nice, but everybody literally is really cool. At least to me, it really is a great work environment.
With Zach Wagner going on Dancing with the Stars, you know, did you go see him on it?
You know what? I did not get a chance to see him on there, but I can tell you that was definitely a move that I'm trying to make. So I'm glad he opened that door. You know, I would love to do Dancing with the Stars. I love
really. Okay, people.
If I'm at a club, or any, I'm like the first person on the dance floor, last one off. Any of those B&B parties, any of the Emmy parties, ask anybody. I'm always dancing.
Would you want to do one of those shows where the celebrity learns how to cook, or do you know how to cook?
Because I love to cook, yes. I love cooking. I would do...
Food Network. Get Aaron on your show. Aaron will be good for the Food Network and good for daytime and... And do you want to take calls? Because I don't know how much of a longer time you have, and we have, like, a caller for you.
Okay, no, by all means, you can take the call.
Okay. And this, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Eric. This is Candace.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What is your name?
Candace,
how are you? How's everything?
I'm good. It's good. And I just have to say, I am one of the people that wrote on CBS.com and said, yeah, Justin and Taylor need to hook up.
It's all good.
I also did say about Kate, too. I was like, yeah, that would be a good storyline for them to battle it out. So that's, you know, hopefully that happens.
Well, you know what? I would like to say thank you to you and everyone else that has been writing in. It continues to show that there is interest in having the character do things, you know, within the parameters that have been set as well as outside of the parameters that have been set.
Not a problem. Thank you for, you know, being on the show and bringing it. You know, when you're on and you're in the scenes and you just bring a whole new level. Like, I've been watching Bold and Beautiful since it actually started. I was 5, but, you know.
Wow.
So, wow. But, I was 9.
For me, because I always wanted to be on a soap opera. So when I see actors actually committed to their character and actually, like I said, bring it, you know, that speaks volumes. And that's not
a lot of you.
No problem. But I actually had a question that I don't think was addressed yet. My question is, what is your favorite football team?
I've been watching the Redskins all day long.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm from D.C., you know, the Washington Redskins
Baltimore.
All day long. Yeah, you
Baltimore.
Know what I do? I'm not even going to lie. I do like the Ravens. I wanted them to win this year. I'm not going to lie.
I like the Ravens.
And as a kid, I was a crazy Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I was a crazy Houston Oilers fan. Those are my teams.
Okay, isn't it bad that I'm from Baltimore and I don't even like the Ravens? I like New England.
Oh, my God. You know what? I knew New England was going to lose. I'm sorry. This is the second time I told everybody the Giants are going to beat them. It's not that I dislike New England, but you know what? Eli Manning just, you know, he's a Giant killer, man. He's slaying Brady right now.
It's still a sore subject for me to talk about.
That's hilarious.
Candace, I'm in Connecticut.
I'm sorry.
That's two of them on the phone. Watch out.
I know. This is really big. Well, I still like the show. But, no, like, Carly was asking one question, and I was like, okay, they're going to talk, because I had 3 questions. And you addressed one of them was about, you know, African Americans on soaps. And that was actually a question I had, like, what was your thoughts about that? Because it does seem in the recent years there has been a lack of African Americans on soaps. And
you know, there's been a lack of African Americans or people of color in general on TV, movies, the whole game.
Yeah.
The way I kind of look at it is like this. If you take a medium that was created for a particular purpose and you're the person that funds that purpose, the analogy I usually give is this. Coca-Cola is not going to promote Dr. Pepper because they built Coca-Cola for Coca-Cola. Now, Dr. Pepper might come in and do a couple of spots here and there, but I'm not going to let Dr. Pepper just come in and take over my whole ship. It's kind of the same thing. So if you kind of sit back and you continue to open the refrigerator expecting food to be there, when you know the first 5 times you checked there wasn't any food there, but you expect the 6th or 7th time that all of a sudden it's going to change, you're going to get the same result. It's kind of the same thing with Hollywood. It's something that was created for whoever it was created for, and until we actually take our time and energy and putting it into creating a medium that is opposite of, next to, or something that gives us a viable platform to show our talents, then we kind of are at the mercy of whoever is in charge of the door that we're knocking on. Because it's not your door. It's not your house. You know, so if you understand it from that perspective, from a business perspective, it takes the anger out. It takes the angry person of color out, you know. It allows you to look at it from a logical standpoint, but at the same time, I don't focus on it. What I do is I look at, it is unfortunate, but guess what? I'm going to be working. I don't know what you're going to be doing.
True.
You know, you can sit around and have all these think tanks about and complaining and talking, but I know I'm going to be working. And it might be
right.
I'm the only black person on the entire show. But guess what? I'm working. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I look
you.
At it. And at the same time, putting resources towards leveling the playing field. Putting your energies into mediums and or looking at these new platforms that are arising and using those to kind of to level the playing field, to put your creative juices into, to allow you to kind of create your own, build your own tree from the ground up, and that you can stand back now and be proud of. And look at maybe you may be standing next to a giant sycamore, but guess what? I'm proud of my little bush because it is a niche that is catering to the masses that wish to see it. And hey, eventually I have a sycamore too. If I had 300-400 years, or however many years it was, you know. So
yeah.
That's kind of how I look at it.
There you go.
You got one more question.
Yeah, I have one more question.
Sorry. Okay, you get one more question. There's another call. Aaron, how long more do you have?
I'm gonna roll with you as long as I possibly can. If you got people calling in, I'm not gonna get off the phone. I will definitely take your calls.
Okay, Candace, I will let you ask one more question, okay? And then you will be silent, okay?
Yes, ma'am. This is every week, so I'm not even like going to even say anything. But my other question was, how as a male, how do you feel about the portrayal of males, you know, African American white males on television, both daytime and primetime?
Interesting. You know, a lot of things sometimes, whether this, a lot of these things in this particular continent are built upon fear. So if you're operating out of fear, then you're not going to be able to soundly make correct choices as well as correct projections and what have you. So right now, once again, I have the house. I own the house. So I'm definitely going to put myself in a position to be the hero, to be the lover, to be the savior, to be the criminal, to be whatever it is, because I'm going to paint a palette of multiple choices that you can choose from if we're speaking of in terms of the white male. Okay, so if you're now looking at males of color, whether it be black, Latin, Asian, what have you, I'm going to direct the choices that I choose people to see you in, because if
right.
I paint you in the same light, now I'm creating competition. But I can control the competition if I only give you an outlet through maybe being, I don't know, a gangbanger or a, you know, or a street dude or a basketball player or what have you, or a cop, because, man, it's a ton of us playing cops. You know, I don't give you the love life. I don't give you the heroism. I don't give you the savior aspect. So, therefore, not only will people in the United States not view you in that light, but people around the world have a tendency to now view you through the light that I create. That's the ironic thing, is that the culture of this country as well as other countries now are being painted through the paintbrush of the television or the film, because the morals of our society somehow now are shaped through social media, and now I'm including television and film within that social media. It's just expanded now to being broadband. So in controlling all of that, whether that was my plan from the outset, I now have a viable source in which to control my image as well as your image. And the hell if I'm going to let you compete with me, I'm going to make sure I stay on top. Whether I was white, black, orange, or green, it's just a matter of semantics where if I'm on top, I'm trying to stay on top. And I'm not going to give you an equal platform to try to match me or equal that. But ironically enough, here we are still competing through the very limited access that we've been given. So that speaks volumes about the tenacity and perseverance of people of color, as well as the ingenious of those who are controlling the industry and how they've been able to shape and mold this entire society, as well as societies across the big pond. So, you know, it's kind of a salute to both, and whether it's a good salute or a bad salute, man, it's still some great creativity going on in order to achieve the levels that both sides have been able to achieve.
There you go.
Good job, Candace. I I'm really proud of you. Okay, Aaron, I know you have time for one call, but I need to ask you this. Oh, I will be mad at myself tomorrow. How
Please
was working
do.
With Patrick Duffy? Because I was in love with Bobby on Dallas. I wanted to marry Bobby. So how was that? Because I want to know.
You know, it was good. It was really good. You can see the seasoned trainee of a person that's been on a hit show. You know, whenever you're working around not only an elder, someone that you can learn from
yep.
From a personable level, from a male to male, or just from, you know, being of a later generation, that wisdom just kind of exudes out of him. But then at the same time, he has this sense of humor. He's crazy, man. He's always joking and laughing, and we might be right before we get ready to say action. He says something crazy, you know. So he has a really good personality. I think he keeps himself in great shape. He doesn't live in Los Angeles, so that keeps his mind fresh. It keeps him open to nature and so many other things that you realize that life is about once you get beyond yourself. And I think he has a great balance of that, because life is a balancing act. You know, it isn't all about one-sidedness. It's about finding the balance of good and bad, right or wrong, and what have you, and then finding the path that you want to live within that balance. And I think he's done a great job of that, of being one of our legends from television and now proceeding into B&B and coming to the set, bringing his wisdom and his canter and his personality. So it was great.
Yes, and can you please tell Bill that we want Patrick back, because we'll call everyone Patrick back. I cannot speak for the whole of America, but I have my own soul. So pretty much I want him back, and I think you guys should have a talk, and I think, you know, he can help you get back either with Donna or with Katie. Oh, you know, do the whole rivalry with you and Pam. Oh, that would be good. The call that we were going to take, we're off the Swiss boat, so, yeah.
Okay.
So, is there any other questions from Tanya or Candace you want to ask you two before Aaron leaves?
No, because I'm just still getting over the fact that, you know, you was rooting for the Giants, but it's okay.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Giants. You know, it was, put it this way, this is how I kind of am when it comes to the sports thing. I never really, if it's not the Redskins, I may not have a team that I'm rooting for, but I'm like very realistic. So I'm not going to get caught up in the hype. I'm going to look at it for what it is. Like, my best buddy is New England Patriots all the way. When they were 18-0, I did want to see a 19-0 team. I'm not going to lie. That I did want to see. But I kept telling them, I said, dude, the way they're playing at this point in the season, the Giants are going to win. The Giants almost beat them the last game of the season, the first time they played in the Super Bowl. I was like, it's just, I don't know, they just got that, they got that extra something in them at this time of the year playing football, and they're going to win. And, of course, they won. So this year when it came back around, I said, dude, it's kind of the same situation. The Giants, I don't know what it is when they get to the playoffs with Eli Manning and the Giants. They just come, they become an entirely different team. And when I'm looking at Brady and the way he's playing, I'm just putting the facts together. I'm like, look, the way they're playing right now, the way the Patriots are playing, Giants are going to win. And that's all.
I'm like a New England fan. Like, my top three teams is New England, Colts. I don't even want to talk about last season.
Right. It's all good.
You know, hopefully it will, cause, no, I can't even say that's going to be my team much longer. And I actually did like the Redskins, and it was just this season, it was up and down, up and down, up and down. And it was teams that I was surprised, you know, came out and they played like Miami. And I'm like, what? Like, you know.
See, Miami
had
a good team, though. Miami had a good team. They weren't getting the wins early on in the year. But, man, if they had been winning early on in the year, man, that was another team I was rooting for, Miami.
That would have been the shocker of the year.
It's good to hear that you even know football. So, hey, you know, not too many women know football.
I know, that's like one of the best things. My male friends are like, okay, seriously, she knows her football, because I even do the,
right.
you know, the fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, my sisters do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something about it, because, it's like, soaps is my passion, football is my passion, and I love wrestling. So, for me, it's like, I'm like,
you're a man's best friend.
Yeah, she is. she is, Justin, but Candace is one of my right-hand people who will get the job done for me, so I will never complain anything she does.
That's right.
That's
right.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So we love to having you.
You
can come back anytime if you need to promote anything. Just come back here, because we would be more than happy to promote it.
Well,
and what was
so
the
much.
Name of the show again? Is Single Black
the
Female,
The show is
right?
It's called, it was originally called Single Black Female. They have now changed the name to Being Mary Jane. And Mary Jane, of course, is played by Gabrielle Union with Richard Roundtree, myself, of course. And I can never remember this young lady's name. The girl, the lady who played Suge in The Color Purple, the one that came back to the church and was singing, busted the door, singing to her father as the preacher, whoever she is, I forget her name, Margaret something. She, yeah, her. She plays the mother.
Okay.
Richard Roundtree plays the father, and I play co-anchor to Gabrielle Union. So it is. Hopefully we're going to leave, I think I leave on the 21st of April to start shooting that. So I'm looking forward to being a really good show. BET is looking to change their perspective on how they do programming and be more of a HBO, Showtime type of thing. So this is supposedly the show that they're looking to garner that change with. So I wish it all the best. I'm going to give it my heart and soul. And I thank the Daytime After Dark, and I thank Stuart Brown, AOS, for allowing me to come through and do this particular interview.
Yep.
And I do look forward to coming back. If I have something
cool
more to promote, feel free. Yes, indeed.
Oh, cool. Well, we love having you. Have a good weekend. You know, it's the start of baseball season, so.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
no comment.
You ladies have it. No comment. Baseball is one of those sports where it's fun to play. You got to get used to watching it. I've gotten used to watching it and making it exciting. Yeah, so
yeah.
I'm definitely looking
yeah.
forward to all the seasons of sports and what have you. And I'm totally wishing you ladies a lovely night. Thank you so much for having me. And continue blessings to each other.
Yep. It's great.
We
love having you. Come back. Say hi, everyone, on BNB for us.
I will. I sure will.
Okay.
Have a lovely night. All right.
You
have
do.
A good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, I've been running. I love that interview. Candace, I let you stay on because, like I said, you are my right-hand little person sometimes. So, you know, I mean, your job in life is getting Bradford to kiss me, and you know that. And Tiana, thank you for just being here and, you know, asking questions that I would never think about. And we are bringing everyone else on in a second. But I just want to say I've been waiting all day to say this. Zenner Hospital renewed for another year. You know what? Yay! Tonight is about celebration. Tonight is not about, you know, what's going to happen after that year, because I really don't want to hear it. So none of that talk, people, tonight, because Zenner Hospital is here for, you know, whatever long. You know, last year at this time we were crying over AMC and One Life to Live. This is a victory. You know, today's the 13th. It's been 2 months since One Life to Live left the building. So I think tonight is all about celebrating it and hating on Sam McCall. And, you know, okay. I would not be calling
her. I'm not even worried about Sam because we got Heather Weber on her, so I'm not even worried about her.
Yes. Okay, I am bringing everyone else on. And Candace, behave yourself tonight, okay?
Okay,
good. I don't have to give Alexa to Tanya yet because we haven't really co-hosted before, but you might be getting Alexa to Leo, just so you know. Okay, I'm bringing on Kathy, right? Kathy.
Hi, Callie.
Yes, Kathy.
Great interview.
I did an amazing interview.
Great interview. You did great. It was wonderful. I was going to press one. I was going to ask him something.
Oh, God.
I was going to ask him how did he like the rain in California, but I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. But he was great.
Well, I mean, I thought that was okay, and we are bringing Amy on. Amy's back from Florida, and she's never leaving me again.
Yes, I am. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Oh, and Christy from Late Zone Radio is on. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Christy,
Christy
was out having fun.
Well, Christy's probably only going to be on for a little bit because What?
That's another reason I didn't have a show tonight, because I have to get to bed early.
Well, you're echoing, Christy.
I'm on a train, and then I have to get up early tomorrow for Crazy Vampire Diaries fans, so that will be exciting. I'm meeting Michael Cimino tomorrow. So,
yes, and just so you guys know, Silo is in the house too, so everyone is here. Everyone is here. This is great.
I just
want to say before we start, I hope you get better. See how the flu, poor little thing. And I hope Meredith's son gets Bella and Tiana,
Well, I'm going to try to schedule a show after my show's Revenge Cast. I'm going to try to schedule a show after the first new episode of Revenge in 8 weeks, which will be on April 18th. So, tentatively, I'm going to say at 11 Eastern on April 18th.
Perfect. Okay, and we will get more into Huso as the weeks come on, but tonight, I love you so, Tanya, but, you know, after yesterday, after we got the good news, and I feel a couple is coming, and I feel like...
Oh, they are.
I know, I feel like singing, but... Oh, okay, so Christy told me to sing this. So if no one likes my singing, it's all Christy's fault, but I worked on this yesterday. So here it goes. And if I have any Sam fans in this album or anyone, you might want to tune down your volume or walk away because you're not going to like my song. So here it goes. Okay, here it goes. The Sam should be ending very, very soon. Sam is going down for everything she's done. Zayton and Elizabeth should be reconnecting. And Zeke should be coming home very, very soon.
Very good.
Yes.
I totally agree.
I feel like, you know, McBain is the best, you know, the best, and we need to see more of them, you guys.
I read something on Twitter tonight. Jason said, I don't know what this is. I don't know how true it is. Jason said, those fans are not going to be too happy about what's happening.
What
fans? You mean Steve said that? Steve said that in magazine.
That's what someone said on Twitter.
That was in an article or something like that. Steve or Yeah, Steve said, was quoted as saying, and fans are not going to be happy or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't think he tweeted that. I thought that was in a magazine, but
it was
in
a magazine. Then they did TMI, and it was a magazine article.
You know what? I would not worry about it.
Be happy.
I would not worry about it. Why, Amy?
Oh no, I'm not worried at all. I think.
No.
Allie? Is
What's
Allie
that?
Here?
I think if he is going to leave Sam, it wouldn't be over the baby because, I mean, technically she was raped. I think it would be over the lying about...
Tiana, I know you're new, but all of us do not buy Sam.
Just because Sam says she was, I don't believe her. And not because I hate her beyond a thousand suns, but I don't think she was raped. And I don't think it was Franco and Sam's first encounter, if you will.
Okay.
And I am going to throw this out there, and I probably sound like a crazy person. Just call me Heather 2.
Allie?
But...
Allie, is that you?
No.
Oh,
this
I thought
Amy.
It was Allie.
Oh, no. Anyway.
No, Allie's not on here tonight. But, no, I believe, you know, we will see Sam's life come to fruition, and it's about damn time.
He finds out she's drunk. She was quoted as saying... one of Sam's lines to John was, or someone, that she knew, I don't know if this is true, okay? I didn't see the show, but I read the tweets. I was away, okay? So, anyway, I read recaps is what I did. And something about she said she knew she was pregnant in Hawaii. So, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I think this procedure, she was artificially inseminated, and I think Franco is behind the whole thing, but, I think she knew all along, and I think she made a deal with Franco or something. And kind of you help me and I'll help you get pregnant kind of thing, you know, or whatever. Because I'm just going to throw it out there.
Jason finds out that she told John McBain before him.
Yes. And you know what? Even if this baby turns out to be Jason's, I still see them ending. I would even say that karma would be Jason fights for full custody. And, I mean, that would
be
awesome.
He's upset because John McBain knew before him. That's what he's upset about.
Of course. Of course he is.
But I think they're going to kind of get back together. He's going to forgive her or something. I do not want that. Jason better not forgive her butt again.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But
I mean,
it's
come
second
on.
Or third time because she lied about Robin,
who's
too. And what's
her
excuse
her? Her?
But he
one
always,
out of
come
time.
On.
One out
he
of time.
He always does.
And,
but
and
you know what? This time could be really different. Okay, this time.
It's going to be a lot different because she's not just, she's not keeping something from him. She's lying to him.
I don't want this to be
Jason's
kid.
She's not doing
it.
What's that?
I don't want this to be Jason's kid. If
it
is, they're tied together forever.
No, I don't think it is.
And I don't think
it is either. To tell you the truth, McBain has a better story potential if the baby does not survive. And I don't think it will.
No, I don't either. I do not think so either.
No.
And I mean,
I've been saying all along that that baby is not Jason's. I've been saying all along, or people have been saying, Sam will get her baby, but it won't be Jason's. That's been going on for
I've been saying that too.
Right.
I do not think this baby would be Jason. So,
just because Jason will love this baby or whatever, and I think the guilt of not being there for Jake plays very, very heavily for the child itself. But he can absolutely loathe Sam at the same time.
That's not even connected.
Yeah.
I honestly think
that they're going to sever ties, because she's going to continue lying. She's going to continue confessing to McBain. And I wouldn't put it past her to give McBain info on Sonny.
She's going to tell McBain about who the paternity is before she tells Jason.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
McBain is going to question whether or not...
Terry's on the phone. Terry's on the phone too. You guys, say hi.
Hey, Terry.
Hi. Can I just say I love what Heather said to Sam today? Sam, I just hope that the prank goes above there.
Well, you know what? I really don't think it matters. I don't think the baby's going to survive. And I think a lot of karma is going to come back to Sam.
Good.
And I think she has the greatest potential to have story and different paths with Michael Easton. And not because I'm always Jason and Elizabeth fan, but because I see a difference in her.
What about Natalie?
Me too. I see a difference too.
I mean, she still flaps her arms a little bit and rolls her eyes a little bit too much.
The thing with the Natalie and John thing, I love Natalie and John, but we're on General Hospital now, and it's a different soap opera.
I just get this. She's more relaxed with Michael.
I don't know if it's true.
Because maybe they're on the same caliber or is acting wise. I don't know, because I think Steve Burton is just
actor.
I mean, you can definitely tell. I'm 2 second scene with Rebecca and eyes are sparkling and the smile and the smirk, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell he's just enjoying that.
They're going to be...
You know what I mean? It was just, like, instant.
April 24th is liaison scenes. April 24th, liaison scenes.
I think we're going to get... I heard that the powers that be, let's call them, said that the actors are not allowed to tweet who they're working with or whatever, because they want people to tune in to watch the show, and there's going to be surprise scenes, in other words.
Yep, and
so,
you know why? I think
they're going to throw in more than the 24th.
Yep, and you know what, you guys, I think, you know, let people, on Twitter say how much you love their scenes, how much you love McBain, you know, call in and say how much you love watching the show again, and how much you rewind
motivation in it. I really don't think it matters. I think as soon as Michael Easton was asked to come to GH.
Yep.
I think the plans were for Sam and him to
and
be coupled.
But
so,
it bothers me, because I did watch Poor Charles as one of the five people that watched it. But I'm just kidding. It was funny because apparently everybody I talked to watched it, so I don't know why I had such low ratings. But anyway, I liked it. But that being said, Caleb was such a different character than McBain that for me, I don't see the same chemistry as they had.
I'm sorry, I do.
Oh, no.
What was that? What was that you said? They don't have the same chemistry, or
no?
Terry, take this because you know you see it, don't you, Teal?
Because I watched Port Charles too, and I mean, it's not Caleb or Libby, but I just think, I just feel they have this natural chemistry together. I mean,
They're two different characters,
and you can't repeat the same chemistry of the show, but for me, I just see it. She acts so much better with him.
She does.
No kidding.
She does.
That Jason
and
does
I mean,
see
I,
them
I
together.
Mean, yeah, I love Caleb and Libby. I was a fan of Caleb and Libby, but I don't know. I just see that they just have this natural chemistry with them,
yep,
each other.
They do.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I just feel like, for me, their storyline on Port Charles wasn't long, and I feel like there could have been
mm-hmm.
still more to their
yeah.
story. And
but
like,
no one is going to convince me that this was all of a sudden thought up. I mean, they've had these plans since January, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, they did the what if. I mean, if you recall, remember
yeah.
the what if? That
they did do a what
I mean,
if.
One
at
a time. The highest one. I'm sorry. This was the highest one out of all of them. Because it was like, when you heard Kelly and Michael was going to do a what if as, you know, McBain and Sam, it was like, wasn't it supposed to be a part two? Remember they had, it was to be continued and we never got the second part.
I love them. And I love them. I like Greenlee and Jason the best, though.
I thought that was hilarious. I like Victor and Spinelli. Was kind of funny,
yeah,
too.
That was pretty good, too. That
I like Greenlee and Spinelli. I mean, Greenlee and Jason. I thought that was the best.
I love Greenlee and Jason. I thought it was good, but I also, I love Spinelli all the time, so I loved his, too. I think it's going to be a show that is worth going back to, and
mm-hmm.
it's worth the fight, and it's worth this whole thing. I mean, a year ago, we lost two.
We have
you know,
a year now. We have it for a year. It's so exciting.
Hi, Kathy.
Well,
we are not saying that tonight. We are not even going.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find me. I mean, we won. We won in a, big victory. You know what? The rubber.
Sorry.
Yes.
Just a second, okay? They said that GH will be around for their 50th anniversary. That doesn't
mean
they're going to end next year either.
No,
I think. Yeah. Hi.
Yeah,
if they get really high ratings, it could be around the next year.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I mean, you know, and I think it's all job now.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
The ratings weren't good this week.
You know what? The ratings need to be above 2 and stay above 2.
Right. They were
to really wake up some people, and then it needs to climb.
But you guys, I believe that
Tartini, they know what's going to bring up the ratings, and they know that JAKE will bring back half a million fans within a week.
The ratings, I'm sorry, but, the ratings right now,
No, I don't trust these ratings, you know, for whatever they are. You know, this, I mean, like on Tuesday or Wednesday, when that Florida case about the, you know, 17-year-old, you know, the guy got charged for murder, they broke into 10 minutes of DHO, and I'm like, okay, Carly, calm down. But, you know, with that being said, you know, yeah, we got to make the ratings bigger, you know, and...
We do.
They weren't good.
And, I mean, and now,
well,
now is the time, now is the time, and like I said, I believe that Jason and Elizabeth were going to be reunited anyway, regardless of when General Hospital ended, in my opinion, and I think that's the setup all along. And like I said,
now this organ donor thingy,
yep. You know that Jake is behind that. I mean, come on.
Come on, yep.
No, I think Jake is going to be back. I do. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but
mm-hmm.
I think that I'm hoping they show us a brief glimpse of him in
mm-hmm.
that facility where Robin is. So at least we know he is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to get him right away.
There is a very strong rumor that right around Jake's, what would be Jake's birthday, is supposed to be Jason and Elizabeth's promo of them remembering Jake being born and all this other stuff. So, I mean, they're still talking that every day his name is mentioned. He's
you
alive.
Know, yeah, I
he's
mean,
out
come
there.
On, right, Bill? I mean, you know, and I'm
yeah.
sorry, but, you know, I will, you know, I've never said Jake died. No, Jake was taken. He never died. He was taken
yep.
by some
yep.
mean person.
And this Ingram guy, he is bad, bad news. I've been telling you that since he came to GH, and I have a feeling he's going to hurt Elizabeth.
So Ewan or whatever his name is?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hurt Elizabeth, but he is
he's
there's
use
something
Kate
more
somehow.
To him.
I think his affiliation with Kate is more than professional. I think he's going to try to use her somehow. I bet he has some kind of vendetta against Sonny somewhere, somehow.
I heard a wild rumor.
There we go again with someone, you know, I'm just going to throw that out.
I don't think
out.
That. I think he wants. I think he
yeah,
really
I
wants.
Mean,
Connie,
you know what,
come
you
on.
Guys? I mean, this is the time where, you know, I feel like very soon we are going to be celebrating on this show. We are going to be having the drunkest party ever when
that
couple is over, and I don't care. I will be drunk on my own, so I don't care.
I'm celebrating tonight.
I think May Sweep is going to rock.
Yep,
I
do
think,
too.
But I also think June is going to rock tenfold, if you will.
Yep. And you know what? You guys, remember whose birthday is in June? Mine.
I know.
Yes, you know.
So, June is perfect. It's my birthday month, the whole month, and Christy is going to try to get someone to call in on my birthday. So, bye, Chris.
When's your birthday, Carly?
My birthday is June 9th.
Oh, my daughter is the 15th.
Okay, I decided.
Is Carly going to get to ask a question if she has one?
Yeah.
Or comment?
Okay. Hey, Soap Melody is here. What did...
Yay, Soap Melody!
Woo!
Okay, who wanted to ask a question?
I don't know, but I know Carrie logged in and I haven't heard a word, so I thought maybe she might have a comment or a question.
Oh, well, she's not on the switchboard.
Oh,
yeah,
she must have hung up. Okay. But I'm loving Heather. I'm just loving that woman. She is just so loony.
Yeah, but I thought you'd get something on Sam today.
Oh, trust me, she'll be getting something. I mean, she already found out she was getting DNA testing.
I know, but then Sam put something on her, but...
No, trust me, Heather is a lot. She's, Sam is out of her class.
Absolutely.
I know.
Heather may be psycho, but she is incredibly smart as
she
well.
Is smart.
Mm-hmm.
She is smart.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Terry, wait,
you
guys, Terry, are you still here? Terry? Did Terry go? Okay.
Must have. I hope I didn't chase anybody away.
You didn't.
Okay.
I mean, I think this is going to be our time of reckoning, people.
Absolutely. Even more so now that GH has been extended. And
isn't that great? Isn't that great?
You know, it is.
Great.
That
fantastic.
Was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for a lot of people's involvement to make sure that happened.
Oh,
but
my God,
I also have to say, Katie Couric.
You know that today is the...
But Katie
I've spent
Couric
the least
asked, but Katie
of
Couric
phone calls
asking,
to
asking
the comment line.
Katie Couric asking for German Hospital to precede her show. I think that had a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
General Hospital to precede her show instead of the Revolution. Don't you think that held a lot of weight with ABC?
Absolutely.
I think that kind of did it.
That's why I say that it's going to go beyond the 50th anniversary. It's going to go on for however long Katie has her show, in my opinion.
I mean, Katie...
Which could be 5-10 years.
They wanted Katie bad. Katie had $20 million contract?
Yeah, quite a bit.
They wanted her. She said, I want General Hospital to precede me. I think she didn't. I think I'll watch her. And thanks.
I will try. I will see I'll see what her show is, because I also appreciate that they're going to move GH back an hour so I can watch it at 2 instead of 3.
And I can watch her at 3, my time.
Right, because you're in that a one-hour
nice.
Difference.
So I think I'll watch her. Only in
no,
things.
That would be nice. I'm in Connecticut, and I have nothing to watch. And you know, in the Eastern Time Zone, I have nothing to watch from two to three, and then I get into the first 20 minutes of GH, and I have to go pick up my daughter from school. And then by the time I get home, there's 10 minutes left. Mm-hmm. But I have it on demand, guys. I don't know if anybody else has that.
I think
I
think Katie Couric did this. I really do. I think
I think she had a big influence. You're right.
I think so too.
But I think it was the fans.
The fans, they did it. But ABC didn't care about the fans with the other two shows.
I have the comment line on speed dial, and I must have called them 40 times a day. Today I've called them 10 times.
But I
took a break.
I think, they didn't care about the other two shows, but the fans doing all that work, still doing all that work. But I think they listened to Katie Couric. So I kind of
I think it was both. But
It could have been both. But
it was also, you know, no one was watching the Revolution.
No one was watching That's why That's why Katie Couric said, I don't want the Revolution to precede me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything else.
She
knows
I want
PH
them
as a guaranteed viewer.
Exactly.
She said, I want General Hospital to precede me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it had something to do with it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I like Katie.
Yep. But, you know, I mean, the fight's not over. I mean, you know what I mean? We'll be doing this again.
No, that's why we have to get viewers back.
Right. But Cartini definitely have their work cut out for them. And,
But they have the truth.
They know what they have to do.
They have the truth.
It's not going to happen overnight.
And
that's what people need to understand.
They have the two preceding them. That's doing all right. But it's
I don't understand. Do you know how many food channels there are?
I know.
Like
it's 15. Doing all right. It's not doing that great. It's doing
right.
All right.
Right. Ridiculous. That's ridiculous. But that'll fail too. Guaranteed.
I just want GH to change up here now. I need this to... I want Jason and Sam wrapped up pretty definitive by the end of this month.
Oh, you're pushing it, Shiloh. You're pushing it.
Yeah. No, come on. All right, I'll give them a little teeny bit into the first week of May, but that's it.
So I guess another spoiler out there is Connie is supposed to hurt Elizabeth somehow.
What?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
What?
Elizabeth is hurt. That's all the insiders would say. They didn't go into detail, but Connie or something. All I know is that Katie.
It's Sunny
and
Sunny.
Kelly Sullivan and Rebecca are having scenes together.
Is Sunny not guilty?
Sunny is not guilty.
He's not guilty.
They find
and Elizabeth is supposed to overhear something that causes repercussions, and I have this really strange feeling that there's going to be a marriage of convenience between Sunny and Elizabeth. And I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but by August, I think we're going to have it them married.
Elizabeth and Sunny?
Yep.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, why?
You know Maurice stated he wants scenes with Bessie.
Yep. I'm not saying they're going to be romantic. I'm just saying Elizabeth is supposed to overhear certain things, and she's supposed to help out with Sunny, and she's supposed to, Katie hurts her. I don't know how, but Elizabeth is hurt. Cameron is at the penthouse with Spinelli and Matt. Some reason they're at Jason. Why is there so much feedback? Is someone on speakerphone?
Why would you get mad at Sunny?
No, for once I'm not.
I think there's like 7 people talking at the same time, and it's just getting all crazy.
That's what happened last week when I called into this show. The feedback was so bad. After a while, I just had to hang up because it was right in the ear and it hurt.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad this week. It was really bad last week.
Oh, it's like someone is, like, driving in a car or something and their window is down or whatever.
No.
Why would
it be kind of
strange? You guys sound like you're very, very far away.
Why would Rebecca...
We are very far away. I'm kidding,
Okay, why would Elizabeth marry Sam? Can you hear that?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't... I have not heard that from my... who I believe is...
Well, I read a rumor that's very strong, and it said that Elizabeth will find herself in a situation of hilarity, and the repercussions and the reaction of poor Charles, basically, is very, very shocking. And then someone that I talked to said,
there's that noise
came up
again.
With this idea.
Someone's driving in the car. There's that noise.
I hear something in the background.
I'm in front of my computer indoors.
Dad, I can't even talk. I'm all choppy and stuff. Why do I hear myself talking? It's like an echo. It's very, very hard. Anyway, I'm sorry. It must sound like a retard or something. I don't know.
You know.
Anyway, it's just a speculation that and a theory that that one of my friends had,
mm-hmm.
and it makes sense, but it's supposed to just tailspin out of control. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
See, now I wish they'd do the opposite. I wish Liz would see Jason do something, and after he just gets divorced from Sam, they have to get married, so she doesn't have to testify again.
Oh, but
I
wouldn't just think about it. Obviously, there's no romantic love interest between Elizabeth and Sonny, but just think of the reaction to Elizabeth witnessing something or overhearing something, and she's supposed to overhear a conversation between two people that puts her in a situation of hilarity. And that is why I think that Sonny and Elizabeth are going to have a marriage of convenience. And it would, I mean, Jason's reaction would be funny,
I think. I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't. Now, she may overhear something, and Sonny and her may have some funny scenes. I know Maurice would love to do stuff with Becky, and whether he likes funny stuff.
I mean, all this drama and stuff, I mean,
well,
it would just be hysterical, even if they didn't go through with it, but work, you know what I mean? Just had a little joke the audience, tease the audience, and are they really going to marry Sonny and Elizabeth? And then, you know what I mean? And then they find a way out. You know what I mean? It would just be funny to just see Carly's reaction, Jason's reaction.
I can't see it. And I think Carly would like Elizabeth more than Sam.
I mean, could you imagine Elizabeth going to Jason and say, listen, my brother being a D-I-C-K, and I need you to walk me down the aisle and give me away. And he thinks she's moving on with Ewan or whatever.
That would not, I wouldn't like that.
Huh?
Shiloh?
You wouldn't like that? You don't think that's funny?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
I think it was hysterical. Carly, are you around? Hello?
Callie's gone.
Oh, my God. Okay, you guys, I'm here.
Oh.
I pressed the button wrong. Why did Amy leave?
I don't know.
No, I agree about the Sonny and Elizabeth thing. I do.
Getting married?
Yep, I agree with that.
No.
That
would be so beyond realistic or
no,
even
it's no way.
Okay.
The characters.
No way.
Okay.
Callie.
I agree with Amy on it. I'm sorry. I do.
They won't get married.
Okay.
I have not read anything in my two sources that I kind of follow that are pretty good. They have never brought that up as a rumor.
They would never get married. What would that do to Jason and her? We don't want that.
Okay.
Callie?
What?
We wouldn't want that.
Yes, we would, because it would bring those two closer together.
No, those two will get closer, I think, because I know that he wants to work together, and I'm sure Becky probably would like
Amy,
to work
Amy,
with
Amy, you came back. Amy, you're back.
Yeah, I came back. I don't know what happened. I'm not saying that I want Sonny and Elizabeth married. I'm saying it would be funny to tease and just to build up to that for marriage of convenience as friends. It wouldn't last, and
they're not really
know
friends.
All about it.
They're not really friends.
Yeah,
well,
and,
I think,
you know.
Well, with Katie,
I agree
or
with
Connie,
her, yeah.
or whatever her name is, Psycho,
hello,
whatever her name is, attacking Elizabeth, and Jason is supposed to warn Sunny that Katie or Connie or whatever her name is has a few screw nooses, and Sunny's supposed and Sunny's or Jason is not going to be happy that Elizabeth gets hurt. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I see, now that Franz is not there, I can see Sunny and Elizabeth starting to have a story together.
I'd rather have
rebuilding their friendship.
And Liz get to a, at least reasonable friendship.
You know, I think once...
You got Terry back, too. Terry, what were you thinking about it?
Jeez. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you. What were you thinking of a Sunny, Elizabeth thing? What
Hello?
Were you thinking about? Yeah, Terry, what were you thinking about it?
I don't know what's
right
going
there.
On, Carly.
No.
I know. You guys, what were you, Terry, what were you thinking of? Sunny, Elizabeth, friendship.
Not friendship, getting married.
Terry.
Okay,
Terry.
People. Sunny and Elizabeth are not getting married, okay? It's a rumor out there. And then it was the reason why my friend and I were saying that was because the spoiler is Elizabeth will find herself in a situation of hilarity. And then it says something about a rumor of a MOC happening. And then that something about Elizabeth overhearing something. She's supposed to be basically in the wrong place at the wrong time. She overhears something. She witnesses something. And that would lead up to a marriage of convenience. And then someone suggested Sunny.
I'll hate
it
that.
It was just a situation. It's not going to happen. I don't think it will happen. I'm just saying it would be funny reaction-wise from everybody around, just forget I even said anything. never mind.
I know, Amy,
anyway,
I like it.
I know that Jason and Elizabeth are coming. I know that I predict by June they will be a couple.
Yep.
I hope so. I hope so.
I do. I really do. And I think I'm going to say this right now. Well, if I had money, I'd bet. But by the end of May sweeps, we will find out, the audience that is, that Jake is indeed alive.
I would also like to find out that Aiden is actually Jason's.
You know what?
I don't
what?
Think so. I don't think that.
I don't think Jonathan Jackson is coming back. And if he did come back, it would be very temporary because he can pick up on that new show.
I don't
want him
back.
I don't
want
him back either.
He's
but I can see him coming back to usher out Tony Geary. I can see him doing that.
I don't think Aiden's is Jason's. I don't.
I just prefer it. I don't like JJ.
Think about it. I just want you to think about it for a minute. Helena Cassadine owns the lab. Helena Cassadine was visiting Elizabeth in Shady Brook, was looking in on her window as she was lying in bed, okay? Don't tell me it's not possible that Elizabeth wasn't drugged or anything like that, okay? I'm just saying, they can write it. It's not going to be, they can write it any way they want, but I have a feeling that Aiden is going to turn out to be Jason's.
They weren't together.
Well, I think,
they weren't together.
I think the point is that it's artificially inseminated. It wasn't a conscious get together with those two.
And you guys, Terry was trying to say something. Terry, what were you trying to say?
No, I was just saying, I was going to comment about the whole Sunny and Liz thing. I think that would have been, I would have liked to do that because they had that back in the day when the fire, when like it got killed in the fire, they had something special and, you know.
I just think it would be funny. It wouldn't last forever.
I know.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? And Jason and Elizabeth would be even stronger, I think.
I don't like that.
I just hope. Yeah, that's me. Thank you.
I would just like to see
the reaction from Jason and Carly of Sunny and Elizabeth getting married. I would think it would be hysterical.
I would love to see the reaction of Jason, but I don't want to see the reaction of my girl because she might not be happy, and I don't.
No, I just.
I like seeing her be happy.
I don't want Sunny.
That's the whole point. She wouldn't be happy. It would be funny seeing Carly, her reaction to it. I wouldn't
Exactly. It would just be funny. And lately, Carly has been singing Elizabeth's praises, so.
You guys, this for a reminder, there's no Laser on Radio tonight. I'm it, people, so you just have to deal with me tonight because Laser is not having a show, so you're stuck with me.
I still think that black sedan that we saw the night Jake was hit by a car, I'm doing air quotes, has something to do with this organ donating thing, and I still say that Helena Cassadine is behind the whole thing.
I have another, isn't Steven supposed to be behind that too?
Yes, in a way. In a way, because of the organ donor thing.
Yeah.
But not because he knows that Jake is alive.
Okay.
You understand? He knew of this operation going, or whatever you want to call it, this mob activity happening or whatever, but it didn't connect the dots. Now, another person had told me today that there's a rumor that Scott Reeves is leaving in August. And basically, there's going to be a situation, especially when Jason and Elizabeth start getting closer and closer and closer. Steven's going to have a problem with that. And then they're going to find out about this donor thing. And then it's, you know that Jake is going to be brought up. And
he did everything he could to keep Jason and Elizabeth apart.
Yes, he did. And they did. Yes. And you know what? Like I said, Jason may have been staring in a window, but he didn't get up close view of his son either. He saw a blonde-headed child with doctors, you know, all surrounding him. That child was not Jake, in my opinion.
Correct.
I mean, come on. Robin was burned. We saw her. And then she's alive in a hospital bed. So you cannot tell me that Jake, it's not possible for Jake
to be alive. You know, I have never said that Jake died. I always said there was something that happened and...
Right.
You always did
and,
that.
And then there's another scenario, rumor out there that this Ewing guy is connected to Jax.
Yes.
And that would
explain
donating kidney.
You know what I heard? I heard that, but I also heard now today, I read a whole bunch of stuff people were posting. One is that, no, he's actually a son of Matt. That's why he knows of Jax.
Oh. Well, I don't know, but that would definitely...
That could be.
Like I don't... But anyway, I still say Jake is going to be back. I still say that Steven is somehow involved.
Yep.
And there's a rumor
here
of Steven and Elizabeth being at odds. And not just
probably
because
over
of
Heather.
Jason.
Yeah, that's his Jason.
I mean, he didn't even mention that, you know, his psycho mother is running around to his sister. You would think
she's
he would
funny.
Mention that to her.
She's funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's comic relief, man.
She is funny.
She's awesome. Every role she ever had, she brought it. And she always
yep.
played crazy or evil.
Yep.
She's probably
she's
the nicest lady in the whole
Luke.
World, too, Robin Matthews.
Yeah.
And
Luke, I guess there's a crisis coming up at the hospital, and there's a hostage situation, and it's not clear whether it's crazy Kate / Connie or herself.
I would go with Connie.
But this is where Elizabeth gets hurt, and it's not clear on how or who or what, when, where, why. But then, like I said, there were scenes, there's screenshots somewhere. I didn't see them myself, but at least 30 people told me this, that there's screenshots of Cameron in Jason's penthouse with Spinelli and Matt. So why is Cameron at the penthouse? Where's Elizabeth? Where's Aiden? Could this... And then, do you guys know what the PC Inquirer is?
Yeah,
oh, God.
Going around?
I have a pretty good idea who's writing it, but I'm not going to bash anybody on the air, so...
Yeah, I don't know who's writing it, but there was one spoiler in there of, I'm so tired.
Carly, you know who I think is writing it, right, without saying it, you know, on the air.
What?
You know who I think is writing the PC Inquisitor, right? I think I told you.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, so... That being said, I'm not going to bash anybody in the air, but this person probably wouldn't have access to spoilers, so I wouldn't trust it. I mean, but I don't know. I could be totally wrong. Ron Carlovati could be writing for all I know. I don't know. It's just
right.
Some speculation
right.
that I've heard that it's somebody
right.
who's just a fan that's not very trustworthy of that, but that's all I'm going to say.
Well, whatever. I mean, I don't trust many insiders either. I only have a few that I trust, you know.
Yep.
We
have 3 minutes left.
Picture of Cameron.
But we are still going to be on the air.
So I don't know what that's about. But anyway, the whole point of this is that the show's continuing, which is awesome.
Awesome.
And our couple.
Oh, no. Amy, are you there?
I'm here.
So, I just think all of us should, you know, I think Zeno Hospital is finally headed in the right direction.
Yep, I do. And I think we're going to see lots. I mean, the writing is already, I mean.
We have a year. Better than we thought.
Right.
Well, you know what I mean? We have at least a year.
That's
what I'm going to say. We have at least a year. They didn't say on the 50th anniversary they're going to cancel GH again. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that they are. They will, or they.
If the ratings,
you know what
are
I mean?
Up there, if the ratings are up there, they won't cancel.
Exactly, and we need to keep writing and tweeting, and don't be tweeting bad stuff to Cartini and Frank, because they, I mean, that's just, you're putting your own foot in your mouth. You know what I mean? The Jason and Elizabeth, or Jason and Sam fans are being very, very nasty right now. And
no, I think it's troublemakers are being nasty. I don't think,
but the liaison
fans,
the liaison fans aren't.
No, oh, no, it's the Jason and Sam fans.
Yeah, but even them, I think the real decent folks aren't doing that. It's the,
well,
those not few
they
nut
aren't,
jobs.
I understand that, and I agree. But I've seen the tweets myself that
oh,
they
yeah,
have
I,
been tweeting
I,
him,
I,
and they are really, really bad.
I don't
mean,
follow.
Really,
I don't follow any Jason.
Oh, you guys. Okay. I just want to say we will continue. Thanks for everyone calling in. Thanks for Andy Spears for, you know, having the interview. And we are off live feed. We are in overtime, people.
Oh. Did you want to stop?
Were you really surprised that you'd go into overtime? I listen to Liaison Radio, and I'm on the East Coast, and I know sometimes it ends at 3 a.m.
Well,
oh
no,
God.
No, no, no. But I'm on Blog Talk. See, Liaison Radio is on Talk Show. We
oh,
can go until like 4
right.
in the morning. You know, but with Blog Talk, we only can go like another hour and 80 minutes probably before they will say, this is Blog Talk, kicking us off. But, yeah.
Right. Oh, and Carly, you should be happy because we're about to see the old Spinelli, I think, from when he first came to GH. And basically, he's got a new attitude, and I think Spinelli's going to be our friend.
Good.
Yeah.
I think we saw it starting today when he heard Matt tell Maxie he loved her.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
remember you.
Yeah,
remember
he fell on his face. I saw that. I'm sorry. Did everybody see it? Because I don't want to spoil. That's just mean.
Yeah, well, remember, you guys, 2 weeks from tonight, I think 2 weeks from tonight, where the 27th, then Lily, who played Maxie, will be on here.
Oh, cool. I love her.
Good. I'm glad people are happy with the people I'm getting interviewed with. Now, people, I just want to say that, you know, we are happy with all that. You know, with General Hospital, but I want to say Days of Our Life, you really, really, really fucked us over on Days of Our Life. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm really upset about Jack.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
I am too.
Carly, honey, I got to go because I got to go to work.
Oh, I know. You have to be up at 4, right?
No, I have to be up at 2. I have to go for 4.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
oh, God. Yeah,
yeah,
baby.
On the East Coast.
All right.
Nine.
Okay, Jack, what's wrong with Jack? They have a good story going. They just made up, Jennifer and him. They just went back together. I can't get it. And Madison, I love her with Brady. I love her.
Oh, God, yeah. I just love Brady. I like watching Brady.
I love Brady. But I love him with Madison. And then Carrie and Austin, I got to say, I really don't care.
They're boring me right now. And I don't know, is it just me or it just seems like Carrie lost so many brain cells. It's like, don't tell me that somebody like her went to law school and passed the bar when it's like, okay, now all of a sudden, Austin that she left for 20 years, she's debating whether she should be with him or Rafe, who she kissed once. It just doesn't make any sense.
I know, me too. I agree. 100% I agree with you.
And Abby's a psycho, but she seems to have more depth than Carrie, because at least she's supposed to be, she's supposed to be like about 19 or 18 or 19, so I could see her going a little crazy, and at least she had a conscience in the end, you know?
She went a little bit crazy, though. I didn't like that storyline when she was going crazy. But I have to say, Austin and Carrie, I really don't care about. I mean, I like them, but they have no storyline now. They're together, but she loves Rafe. Rafe is pretending he's
Nicole's
father of the baby. I mean, there is no storyline for them right now. But Matt is with Jennifer. They just made up. They have a happy family. Why are they getting rid? They always fire him. They
I heard him. Ken Corday has an issue with him. I don't know if it's personal. I know James Riley had an issue with him that was definitely personal, but they never really revealed it. But he's dead, and he hasn't been around for a long time anyway. But then it kind of changed to, well, Ken Corday has a problem with him too. Well, then why did they bring him back? Because they were bringing everybody back? I mean, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Who needs Daniel?
You know?
I like it with Jack. I like her with Jack. I'm so upset. And then I like Madison. I love Sarah Brown.
Yeah.
I liked her on there. I like her with Brady.
Right.
Yep. And Ian, her husband, who I hate, he seems to be fixated on Kate.
Yeah.
That's not going to work out anyway.
It seems to me like it's turning into what The Bold and the Beautiful was years ago, where it just got so, like, I'm going to use the word incestuous, but I don't mean it in the classic sense, but it's just like this line of people where it's like, well, this one loves this one, but she loves him and he loves her. And, you know, it just, you know, it was just pathetic. Like, by the time, and I'm not talking about, you know, Bold and Beautiful now is good. I'm talking about, like, you know, maybe like 5 years ago it was kind of like that.
The show was bad. Dave is doing the same thing.
Huh?
The show was bad.
Yeah, and Daisy's doing the same thing where it's like, well, let me see. Abby loves Austin, who loves Carrie, who loves Rafe, who's pretending to love Nicole, who's carrying EJ's baby, who might love Sammy, who now says she has feelings for Lucas. I mean, like, what the hell? It just keeps going. You know? And it's just like, it's like the whole cast. The only thing that I really enjoy is Will. And his scenes with Sonny and scenes with Marlena.
And I hate Rafe saying he's Nicole's the father of the baby.
I think that was more of a screw you to Sammy and EJ, more than helping her. But then again, that would mean the writers were intelligent and they were giving Rafe depth, and I really don't think they are. I think it was just convenient to do that.
Those writers were terrible. The last writers.
Terrible. Those are the people who wrote Passion, so I mean, geez.
The only story I like is Will's story.
Yeah, they actually did that well. You know, I don't even think they did do it well. I think it's Chandler Massey pulled it off because he's fantastic.
Yes.
And he really brought to life, and I don't know.
Yeah.
He's really good, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, a lot of people said a lot of the younger actors at certain days kind of learned as they went along, even as they became great in the end, and he just always had it. He always had it. He's very talented.
That's a story I like. What about Gabby?
You know what I thought is really
weird too. Gabby's fixated on what's his face, and so she's turning Abby psycho now.
Gabby is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to make
her evil. You know what I thought was really real low? I mean, to bring back everyone like they did, and then after a couple of months letting everyone go, I don't get that. I really don't get that at all.
She's bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Cassie, oh my God. Okay, you will be so proud of me. I'm finally caught up with all my wives, all of it.
Isn't it awful?
Yeah, I mean, I I watched all the episodes.
Claudia?
And yep.
My boyfriend has diabetes, and I made him watch that show. I said, see, you don't do the right thing. Although Claudia was doing the right thing. But I said to him, watch this. I made him watch it with me. Because he doesn't do the right thing with diabetes. He eats ice cream, cookies, all this stuff. And I said, see, she had diabetes.
Does he have type 1 or 2?
He has 2.
He probably takes a medication then, right?
He does. And he takes his blood, and it says 100 or 120, but that's not good. I mean, that's good. It says that, so he thinks he can eat ice cream, cookies.
Well, it would be lower if, I mean, I do too, to a certain extent.
Do you have diabetes?
I'm a type 2, but my blood sugars, when they run the test where it shows over time, it's stable. So, I mean, but you have to, it depends on where you are in the spectrum of
and
type 2.
He has 2 meters, right? 2 meters. They don't, something's wrong with his strips, I think.
All that could be, well, he has to, you know, do the test on him. They give him a test strip.
I told him that. I said, do the test because he has 2 meters. Should we try one? One night it said 350. He checked.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. One night it said 350. He checks the next one. It says 120. So, I mean,
wow.
He has 2 meters. He has 2
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, he needs, they give you that, you know what I'm saying, the test strip where it has a known value, and you're supposed to plug that in so it can tell you how it's reading before you take your test or if you question what's going on.
He has one that talks. Your blood reading is, I tell him it's wrong. One night said, your blood reading is 350. I said, that's the right one. And he doesn't.
That is awful. But if he goes in for the blood work, it'll tell over time because I have a friend that's totally out of control. They've been bugging her to go on insulin, and she refuses. I mean, she flat will not do it.
Well,
I don't know why.
He canceled his doctor's appointment the other day. He said, I'm going to make it for another day because he knows he's not doing the right thing. He's not. He's eating ice cream, cookies, this food. And he said, you're not cooking right for me. I said, I'd like to, but he wants big meals. I can't do it right. I want to give him small meals. Raviolis. I make
Yeah, you have to be careful because the sauce has sugar typically, and then you're eating the noodle.
Carbohydrates.
Right. You have to balance everything.
I give him a few. He said, that's not enough. I said, you can't have any more.
He needs to eat chicken, fish.
Chicken and fish? Really?
Well, I mean, you can eat other meats, but... You
small portions.
Indulge in. Well, I don't know how small. I don't know, but I know mine stay pretty consistent. And I eat what I like, but I don't.
The doctor
told
him he can eat anything he wants in small portions. Skip the sugar stuff. Eat in small portions. Oh. It's so
sugar's in just about everything. It's in ketchup. It's in everything.
You need sugar to live anyways. It's just a moderation, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, that would
right.
come if that
it
worked,
needs
right?
to be kept to a certain level. Yeah. I mean.
He said, everything I like, I can't have. That's
right.
Yeah,
I've heard that excuse from people, too.
That's right. You can't.
Well, see, that kind of stuff scares me. Diabetes, too, because I have polycystic ovaries, and I know I should check on it, and I gained a lot of weight without even eating anything for, like, over, I eat, like, barely anything in the last 2 years. Like, I'm not eating like a pig, and I just keep gaining and gaining and gaining, and I exercise, and I know I got to check on it, but, you know, the insurance problems.
Oh,
and
that
stuff.
Might not even be diabetes. That could be a thyroid issue or something.
Yeah.
Well, I know I don't have thyroid problems because both my parents have it, so I'm constantly check for that. But, like, I have problems with, you know, like, polycystic ovaries, so I do have, like, hormone issues, but it's just not, you know, it's not the thyroid, but it's the same kind of idea. And because
right.
of how much weight I gained and how fast I gained it, I could have, you know, diabetes too, and that's where I'm scared. And I'm kind of afraid to check on that because I don't want to have...
Don't be afraid.
Trust me.
Don't be afraid.
If you're eating normal, you do not... and you're gaining weight, that is not diabetes 2.
That could be a thyroid.
Thyroid. Like, I'm like, seriously, I'm I go to the doctor, they check my thyroid. Because my mom has it, and she's had it since she was fine.
Tanya, is your thyroid. I have the same thing with the thyroid.
Right, but I'm saying because my parents have it, it's a genetic condition, I'm constantly tested for that. So, I mean, like, the last time I did a blood test was probably, like, in the last couple months. But I've never been tested for...
Do you have diabetes in your family?
Well, my dad's pre-diabetic. But that's what I'm saying. Do you guys know what I mean by polycystic ovaries? It's, like, PCOS. So it's, like, basically, it's, like, it's a hormone disorder, except it's not what my thyroid is doing. It's what my ovaries are doing. But I'm just saying, it's actually, you have like a 95% chance of getting diabetes 2 from that. I never tested for it because I'm chicken.
They should have ran that, though. When they did your blood work, it should have been automatically checked.
Yeah.
No, I never even tested for it.
Well, you should.
Yeah.
You said they do a whole panel. I mean, every time I go in, they do a whole panel of tests.
No, yeah, but see, like, I have limited insurance, too, so I only go to the doctor when I don't feel good. You know, so
this is important.
I know. I worry about that kind of stuff, and then, you know, like, I talk to a lot of people on Twitter and on Facebook that have, you know, like, autoimmune issues, and I have autoimmune issues, but I was in remission until, like, a week ago, and then the last couple of days I had trouble, you know... Is that my phone?
Well, Tiana, I know with me, they tested it, and yeah, I have a thyroid, and I take
diabetes.
Medicine.
She has a diabetes problem, maybe. You have to get tested.
Yeah.
Tiana.
Well, same with thyroid.
But every time I go in... They do the thyroid and all of that at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I say, I always get tested for thyroid because, like I said, my mom has it. And my dad had hyperthyroid to the point where he had a heart attack. This was, like, 10 years ago. And they had to destroy his thyroid, so now he has hypothyroid. So I'm always tested for that. Somewhere I averaged out, and I didn't get anything with that.
But
I had, like, all these other issues going on, so I worry about...
Don't they give you a diabetes check because it's in your family?
No, because my dad just found out he was pre-diabetic a little while ago, like in the last couple months.
No, but usually an insurance anymore will require at least a panel of tests to see, because it's considered a well check.
Yeah,
so
that's
they
a very limited
issues.
Insurance.
Yeah,
because
they do
I'm unemployed right
me.
Now, so... I have very, very limited insurance. Plus, they, you know, they're very sketchy in what tests they'll do because I'm only 33.
Yeah, she's
so
right.
Doesn't matter what age you are.
They never did one of my boyfriend until he got in a car accident and fell asleep. They never did one of my boyfriend. He found out because he fell asleep at the car, in the car. They never did one. They don't do them. You're right.
Sleep apnea tests.
They never did a diabetes check, and he fell asleep in the car at the wheel, and a nurse came out when he fell asleep, and she said, "Do you have diabetes?" And he said, "No." And she said, "You better get checked." A nurse came out, and he went to the doctor and said, "Can you give me a diabetes check?" And he had it.
Well, he also should be checked for sleep apnea unless he doesn't snore.
And he got checked for that, and he has that.
Yeah, oh, I have that, too.
You do?
And
you
I have autoimmune, but all that stuff is just...
It's
I
all
mean,
related somehow, but I don't know how.
Shiloh, do you sleep with a mask on?
Yeah.
He
I have for
too.
Years. I have for years.
He does, too.
Yeah. I sleep great with it. I couldn't understand why I was so freaking tired.
That's so scary.
Same with
you. Is it literally you lose your breath in your sleep?
No, you don't lose it. It just stop. You stop breathing, basically.
Oh
yeah, he
God.
Sleeps so good. I don't mind it. It doesn't make noise.
Right.
I sleep with him. He sleeps. I like to hear him breathing. I like that. I go to
well,
sleep
trust
with
me, he probably enjoys it a lot better because he's getting better sleep.
And he has this excellent machine that makes no noise.
Yeah, mine makes noise just because it pumps the air in to blow out my mask, you know.
I don't hear but a thing. There's so many things you should get checked for. That you don't do, you have to.
Well, and
know.
You know what? A lot of it is you have to tell them.
You
I mean, that's kind of what I did.
Yeah,
I have,
spinal
stenosis. My arthritis doctor never, ever recommended an MRI. The nurse practitioner finally did, and that's when they found the stenosis. So, I mean,
okay.
It's you can't count on doctors to be experts, you know. They practice medicine. They don't know about all
right,
medicine.
Right, because they can't guess what you're going through unless you tell them. But it's kind of like this what happened to me. Like I said, I have autoimmune problems, and I started feeling a lot of pain, like around the time I was like 29, 30 years old.
Right.
And I got into a car accident, which actually the anniversary is today. I
that's
flipped the
it.
Car upside down. Well, that's what I thought. I thought that was it. You know, it's kind of logical, right? Well, I go to the doctor, and they say, you know, write down everything you have. And I don't really have anything going on too much. So I wrote down, you know, the ovarian problem, and I wrote down that I have psoriasis. And I didn't think anything of it. My mom was listening. She says, well, they don't care about your skin. So I'm like, okay. I didn't write anything about psoriasis. I go in. The guy looks at my ankle, and I have my psoriasis is in my ears. It's not, like, horrible, but it's chronic. And they looked at me, you know, they do your temperature in the ears, and he looks and goes, you have psoriasis. Looks at my ankle, and I tell him about all the pain I'm feeling. Turns out, and I'm sure everybody else probably knew this but me, but psoriasis can develop into psoriatic arthritis, and only 10% of people's psoriasis get it, and I'm one of the lucky ones, apparently.
But you were in pain when you have the accident.
No, it went on for years after that. Like I said, it's 3 years today. You know, and I've had a horrible week. All week I've been in agony. I'm only 33. But my point is, but I was in pain, but I had swollen joints, and that's not common with an accident. And when I was in the accident, I walked away. I was fine. I started feeling pain in May, June.
Did they tell you it was arthritis?
Yeah. He said I had psoriatic arthritis.
Yeah, it
was caused by my psoriasis. No, it was caused by my psoriasis I was born with. I would have never have known that because I had no idea psoriasis could cause arthritis. Apparently, it's very, you know, it's not rare, but, I mean, it's not common either. Psoriasis isn't common, and then out of people with psoriasis, only a percentage of them have arthritis from psoriasis. But, you know, so, I mean, I wouldn't have known unless I went to the doctor, so I agree with that. Because I kept blowing off, saying, oh, you have a car accident, I flipped upside down, da-da-da. You know, but people were saying to me, you know, you walked away, you were fine. You wouldn't get symptoms, you know, 2-3 months later to last for years, you know? So, I mean, honestly, you know, I agree that, you know, you could go to the doctor, and if you don't tell them, they're not going to know. And the only reason why he knew I had psoriasis is because it was in my ears. If it was, like, on my stomach or something, he wouldn't have seen it. You know, so he made a connection that my swollen joints had to do with that. But, I mean, who would have known? I was carrying that around for my whole life, and I had no idea that that was the reason I was in pain.
Huh. I never heard of that. I've heard of psoriasis. I mean, that's fairly common.
Yeah,
That's skin in your legs, right? Skin.
Yeah, it's nasty, scaly skin that's like all raw and then you get flaky, like the top of it gets all flaky. And I've had it in different parts of my body. It wasn't totally severe, but, I mean, I had it pretty bad when I was in my early teens. And then it cleared up and it settled in my ears, and it's been in my ears for almost 20 years.
That causes arthritis?
It causes arthritis. Yeah, I had no idea. I never heard of it. Like I said, they said fill out your medical history. I was going to write that I had psoriasis. If my mom was with me, she said, "Why would you write that? It has nothing to do with anything."
Oh no, you write everything down.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He made a connection because he saw it in my ears, because they take your temperature in your ears, and it's in both of my ears, and he saw it, and then he made the connection. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said anything about it because I thought it had nothing to do with anything. So that's why I said, like, is it connected? And you say, are all autoimmune things connected? Who knows? Because doctors would know. But that's what I'm saying. I agree with whoever said you kind of have to tell them. You can't just rely on them. That's very true, because I would have never guessed on that one. I mean,
and you have to fight for tests sometimes.
Yes.
That's what I was saying. My arthritis doctor just said, oh, well, this and this and this. And I kept going back saying, look, this is severe. I have never had this issue before.
Right.
And it was the PA who finally said, I think we'll do an MRI because the x-ray didn't show nothing. Well, it doesn't show up in an x-ray. MRI
No, it doesn't.
The MRI showed it, and I was like, you idiot.
Mm-hmm. You have to fight, and that's what gets me mad, too, because I was lucky that I found this guy who made that connection, because I went to people, you know, I was having pain a year before the car accident, but it wasn't as bad as after. So that's why I kind of just dismissed it, like, oh, it must be the car accident, even though I knew there was something else going on. But the year before, I went to a lot of different people, and at the time, I was only 29. So nobody wanted to say I had arthritis, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm not comparing it to cancer by any means, but there are a lot of younger women that get breast cancer and they don't know because they're not screened, because the insurance will say, well, we're not going to cover you unless you're at least 40, you know, and it's kind of like in the same vein where it's like, well, we're not going to do certain tests if you're a certain age unless you have symptoms or a family history. And I think that's why a lot of people fall through the cracks, too.
I had a car accident, too, and I went to the hospital, and they did x-rays, and they did an MRI, and they said, you have degenerative disc disease. I said, what is that? And they said, arthritis. I almost died. I have it all through my neck, my back, my lower back, and they've taken MRIs. It's all through my back, bottom back, and I have a disc lesion somewhere on my right side, and it goes down my leg. It's bad. It's awful.
It's horrible. I've seen a lot of those particular MRIs. I'm a paralegal, and I've done a lot of different kinds of law, but my most recent position before I was unemployed, I was doing personal injury cases. So, you know, we would review MRI scans and review the reports and what have you. So, I mean, and I also did workers' comp. So I knew a lot about, I know what you're talking about, and it's horrible. And I've seen people that never recovered and couldn't work anymore after going through something like that. So my prayers are with you.
Women are very susceptible to that as they get older and older and older.
Yeah.
My mom has really bad osteoporosis, and she's afraid she's going to be in a wheelchair. Sorry, but that's scary.
She's probably my age.
Huh?
How old is she?
She's 62.
I have in my knees, too. It's
awful
to walk.
She needs knee replacements on both sides, and it just scares me, you know, to see her in that kind of condition. You know, she wasn't like an active person per se, but she wasn't lazy. She didn't sit around. But, you know, also because, like I said before, she has a thyroid, the hypothyroid, she's never been thin, so it puts even more pressure on her knees. But because she has that issue, she can't lose any more weight than she did. You know, and she's like 5 feet tall, and she's probably about...
Does she take medication for hypothyroid?
Yeah, she takes
I'm hypothyroid.
Synthroid, I think she takes Synthroid.
Synthroid,
right? Something like
me
it.
Me too.
Yeah, and, you know, so she's not, like, heavy. I mean, she's 5 feet, and she's probably, like, about, like, 165. I mean, not skinny, but, I mean, she's not heavy. Like, there's a lot of people that would, you know, be over 200 pounds and still be at her height. So she does her best, but, I mean, it's still hard on her knees and her back, and she can't do anything more to losing more weight because that's just the way her body is, you know, and she can't. The medication helps, but she's never going to be, like, 120 pounds, you know. And so that makes
it even harder. The Synthroid helps, though. It makes you get thinner. Well, it does. I mean, it helps you. I have hypothyroidism, and the Synthroid is supposed to help you control your weight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it is controlling it to a point, because a lot of people in her condition with her blood counts, you know, I don't know all the, you know, the mechanics of it, but people in her position have been much heavier than she is. I'm just saying she's never going to be able to look the way she did when she was 25. But I mean, she's accepted that. She also had twins too, and so, I mean, you have to.
Oh my gosh.
She had me, and then 4 years later she had twins, and, you know, and somewhere along the lines, I think that's when her thyroid started, you know, giving her issues, because that's why I said I get tested for her all the time, because she was about, yeah, when she had my sister, she was 33, like me. So, yeah, so, I mean, if it's going to come out, it would, you know, if I follow her lead, it would come out, like, now. But, yeah, for some reason, I always thought so, too. I mean, why not? Because, you know, I also have, she has the problem with the hair coming out, too. You know,
that's very common as you get older. I've lost a lot of hair over the last few years just because I'm getting older.
Me too.
Yeah. I think it has something to do with the hypothyroid too. I mean, like, it's not like the sole cause of it, but it makes it, for some reason, it's a reaction of the hormone or the chemicals or lack of chemicals.
Does she go to the doctors?
Yeah, she finally got into the regimen. She's going to the doctor, and that's why she, you know, they discovered she has the osteoarthritis and the osteoporosis, and I guess she followed up recently, and she found out she was on Actinol, and it basically just, it absorbed into her body and did nothing. So then they kind of gave her bad news. They said, you know, it's going to get worse, and they gave her stronger stuff,
because,
and they're gonna kind of have to wait and see.
If she's going for hypothyroidism, they can adjust your medication, because you shouldn't lose hair.
Well,
I bet you it's more because of her age that she's losing hair.
I'm losing hair, but not that much.
Yeah. Now, she lost a lot of hair early on, and they said that was part of it, because she said, too, like, you know, she's never heavy, like, when she's in her teens and 20s or, you know, all the way up until she's in her 30s. So she gained weight and lost hair, and she also said she's very tired and very breathy, and she never really saw anything of it because she didn't go to the doctors when she was my age, like, you know, the way I don't. And so I guess she was taking her mother-in-law, my grandmother who passed away, to the family doctor, and the doctor noticed that she had, like, a goiter. Like, I don't know what the word is for, but, like, in her throat that, you know, there's something.
Yeah, I know,
suspicious.
A goiter.
You guys know what I mean. I know you guys know what I mean. I don't know the word for it. Yeah, so he wanted to look at it, and, you know, he threw her around the C word, which scared the crap out of her, because I think she was only, like, 38 or 39 at the time. And she, of course, she passed that, and he explained the hypothyroid at the time was not, you know, something that was as widely accepted as it is now. She didn't know what it was.
Did she have thyroid surgery?
No, my dad did. My dad had hyperthyroid, and he actually ended up having a heart attack at 54 because his thyroid was going so fast. It had some kind of effect on the heart, and his heart was fluttering, I guess they call it. So after that, they had to actually destroy his thyroid, so he's also on Synthroid or whatever she's on. They're on the same thing, I know that. And I know it's something similar to Synthroid. Maybe it's a generic, but something like that.
I have
half
of mine. I have half. One side's gone. I have the other half, which I want gone, but that's another story.
Does it make it worse? If it's hypo and then it's gone, is it, like, the same?
I have one half, and I take Synthroid, but the other half has nodules on it, so I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, the whole thing scares the crap out of me, because you wouldn't think that it would have something, I mean, it's not something you hear about too much. I mean, you hear about more now. Like when my mom first was diagnosed with it, I didn't know what it was, but I was very young. And she didn't know what it was, and it was explained to her. So it's kind of funny, like you have this thing that, you know, this gland that you don't hear much about, and it has that much power. It could really, it's taking over your whole body. Because from the way she explained it, too, she's very, very tired all the time. You know, and she said just kind of like came on all of a sudden where, you know, she'd just get these tired spells. And that's
very
scary.
Important to your body. But now they have pills.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming it kind of just replaces what, you know, what it's not doing. If
right.
It's supposed to manufacture this hormone and it's not doing it. And, because I was saying, like, what I have going on, I have to do the same thing. I'm supposed to be taking certain pills. Like, I don't produce progesterone. I mean, I do, but not a lot of it. So I have the same kind of effects. And a lot of, I mean, I'm sure a lot of women have it, except a lot of women.
Maybe you should go and have your thyroid checked. And also, what other, Shiloh?
Well, I think she should have a full blood panel.
And diabetes.
Well, yeah, that would be in there because they can look at your...
But she has to ask for that.
Yeah.
Well, that amazes me. That, you know, all that should be in a well check.
No, my...
Yeah, but
my...
I don't do well checks. I have very limited insurance. I only get checked when I'm sick. I mean, literally, I have very limited insurance. I'm still on... I'm on, workers' compensation and COBRAs and all that fun stuff. So, I mean, that's, you know... It is what it is, you know. So, I mean, literally, like, if I'm sick, you know, and then it comes up where it's like, oh, well, you know, you gained 20 pounds since the last time you were here 2 months ago.
But,
let's do another thyroid test.
Oh, right.
You know?
In Arizona, we actually had mobile units that would come to certain stores. They'd advertise. You can come to this mobile. You could get a mammogram. Or you could get certain blood tests done for very little money, like $10 a test.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that scares me when I hear, like, about Raven Beauty, and I don't know her exact age, but I guess she's under 40, and the things that she was going through, and, you know, I don't have, like, the history, you know. Like, my aunt on my father's side had breast cancer. My mom had a scare, again, like the goiter thing, where it was like, oh, you have thick tissue under... You know, and then they did a test and left her hanging, you know, for a week, but she was fine. But the thing is, I always worried if the insurance companies, I'm not saying me personally, I'm just saying anybody, if the insurance companies don't want to give mammograms to anybody under 40, and you do have that history.
No, actually,
how the hell
now
would you know?
they're saying that a mammogram's pretty important, you know, as you get older,
40,
period.
Over 40, though.
Yeah.
Is it
saying, like,
still
what?
Over 40?
It's still over 40.
Some
people are making exceptions, like if your mom had it. But like, what if it's like somebody, like I said, like my dad's sister had breast cancer, you know? I mean, so who's to say that that doesn't go through the line somewhere somehow?
Absolutely.
But they say over 40.
Right. You know, and I'm not just saying like a selfish way, like, you know, me personally. I'm just saying anybody could get... You know, anybody could get anything anytime between, you know, 20 and 40, you know, even without the history, it could just happen. And it's, you know, the medical profession doesn't want to look into it. You know, they don't want to deny
it. I never get a diabetes check. I get the full panel, the whole bit. I don't think I get a diabetes check.
I would check your last results and see.
Billy never got one. They did the full panel all the time. I saw his test. No diabetes check, and he had it.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I get a pretty comprehensive list of everything.
I do, too. No diabetes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's strange.
I think, like, somebody like me, if I were to, you know, if I had the coverage... for it, and I don't want to say like my weight, but again, a significant amount of weight. I'm talking about, like, in the last 2 years, I've probably gained over 50 pounds, and my eating habits have only gotten
I've only eaten even less because I was scared, like, what is going on? And
right.
Less and less and less to the point
yeah.
where I was actually starving at one point, and people told me, you have to eat at least twice a day, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's how desperate I got. And I'll just say this. I gained that much weight in 2 years. I think just for that reason alone, if I did have that type of coverage, I think I would be able to get a test because I am in the range where I'm at risk. Just, you know,
well,
just
yeah,
that alone.
If you're not eating and you're gaining weight, there's a problem somewhere
yeah.
in your body.
And then you get, like, really ignorant people, too. That's what bothers me, you know, just like a pet peeve of mine. You get ignorant people. So, say I said I have younger sisters who are twins. And they're skinny as rails, and they can eat whatever they want. And I'm eating, like, probably half of what they're eating, and I'm gaining, like, I have...
Yeah, but that's their
like
metabolism. I have a friend who's but about my size as far as height. That girl can eat me under the table at any given time. Every time. I don't know where she puts it, literally. I said, I wished... that I could eat like that and not gain any weight.
Right. And it's like it's not even, you know, as I said, like at this point it's something else. I was never like skinny unless I dieted. But right now I'm dieting and I'm huge. I've never been this big in my life. And it just bothers me that you have these people that are like, well, what you need to do is eat vegetables or what you need to do. I mean, and these are like my own sisters or anything. And I'm sitting here like, you don't know what I eat. You don't live with me. I live alone. Well, I live with my daughter. But it's like, you know, it's me and her. There's nobody
Everybody's
here watching me eat.
Everybody's different.
But like I said, if you gain like 50 pounds in 2 years, people assume that you must be eating more than you ate for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm sitting here saying, I'm eating nothing. And then, you know, I said, you know, well, I went to a gym. Well, that's good. That'll help you. And it's like, you know, it's so, what's the word? I can't think of the word at this hour, but it's so, you know, like when somebody looks down on you, I really can't think of any words at this hour.
It's a discrimination, basically.
Yeah. So
I mean, people
that,
who are overweight get discriminated against all the time.
Oh, yeah. I was at a wedding. One of my sisters got married last October, and I had to pay the fat girl charge for the dress. And that pissed me off. And then, you know, and the thing was, too, the size that I was in, like the real size I'm in is not a plus size, but because it's a bridesmaid's dress, you know how it's always like two sizes bigger?
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a size 14, but their size for my body, which is like 14 in the retail store, is 18 for the dress. So I had to pay another $40, you know.
You're
and
kidding
that
me.
I'm not kidding. And it just, you know, and of
yep.
course, you know, it's like a, you know,
yep.
a strapless dress with my arms like peeking out the top. And
yep.
I also, and, you know, another thing too, when you gain that kind of weight, of course, you gain it on top. So that's probably why
yeah.
I ended up so far. You know, because they go by your largest measurement, and I was shocked to find out what my top measurement was because I gained, like, 3 cup sizes. I mean, that's how big I got. And so I was really, you know, I was really shocked to, you know, but it gets me mad that, you know, they make insinuations, and, it, you know, I'll say, like, yeah, I go to the gym. Well, that's good. Well, how often do you go, like, an hour a day? Oh, well, you need to do more. And it's like, really? How many hours a day do
you
go to
You know
to
what?
The gym?
They... And then when somebody does all that stuff and they're deathly sick, then they come up with other ideas. You know.
I know. Why don't they do the test first? It's like, I know my body. I've never been this thick. You know?
My sister is very thin now, and she has so many medical issues. She had a very rare, very new procedure done. I mean, she's been through it all, and she's barely thin now because, I mean, she just has all these autoimmune problems that are...
Yeah.
Good. She's got some serious stuff. I mean, they put her on chemo at one point.
Yep. I was reading about that when, like, the flares, if it's, like, lupus or, you know, and these are all in the same family. If it gets
right.
really, really bad, you have to fight it with chemo, and that scares the... we're still in the air. This scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what to think about that. And then I was reading, like, some of the treatments for psoriasis and the affiliate arthritis. Some of the treatments can cause cancer. So at first I'm reading, you know, it can go into cancer. I'm like, that doesn't sound right because it's not even related.
Right.
Then I read
you know, no, it's like if you do this, that, and the other thing to help ease your pain, you are risking lymphoma. And it's like, really? So it's like, well, you know, what do you do?
Well, I mean, I think that's when, and I know you can't do it because of your limited insurance, but you really, really need an expert in that kind of field. My sister goes to, I don't know how many doctors, but I mean, she had some leading doctors in the immune system.
Yeah, you have to check that out.
It's
yeah.
The immune thing is scary because it's like you're basically your choices are you let your body kill you or you can stop it and you're susceptible to all kinds of diseases.
Exactly.
Because,
I mean, there's a lot of things where you have to outweigh, well, what is the best way for me?
Yeah.
That's how come I don't have a problem with Raven and her decisions of not to go through certain procedures. I understand that totally, and I, you know, that's her decision, it's her body. I don't have a problem. Other people would probably go, please, go get chemo. Please, I already told my family, I said, if I ever get cancer or something that's very serious, I'm not doing chemo.
Because I don't want to eat that shallow.
I don't want to be sick if I'm, you
if
know, going to die soon.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I mean, not, yeah.
I don't want to do that.
It's like if you look at, like, Farrah Fawcett or any of the people that, you know,
Collie,
Farrah Fawcett,
I thought you were gone. My
she,
Collie.
I know. Yeah, Tiana, you're taking over my soul.
I'm sorry.
See, not good, but we'll forgive you this one. No, I mean, I agree. Oh, by the way, I should not look on entertainment sites, but because I just depressed myself. Did you guys hear about Ryan O'Neal?
No.
No. Did he pass away?
No, he's got cancer.
Oh, my God, are you kidding? That's
who?
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal, yep.
Who? Ryan O'Neal.
You know the one?
His boyfriend,
and
they had
before. He's abused his body so much.
But but he had that before. He had...
But this time he got prostate cancer stage 4.
But he had it before.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
and he came out of it.
Then he didn't... Why the hell didn't he go to the doctor for his regular checkups? At his
well,
age,
I don't,
they do
I don't really
things.
Like him. Because
well,
he, wasn't with, Farrah all the time before she got sick.
He was abusive.
Yeah.
He was abusive. And then
he
when she got sick, he was all the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I think she's leaning more on, what's her name, Rod Stewart's ex-wife, what's her best
friend?
Alana.
More her than anybody, to be honest.
But
yeah, well, I like Alana Stewart. I mean,
Ryan O'Neal was not with her. They were broken up the whole bit. He only came on the scene when she got sick.
Right.
Yep.
And she was making it public and having this show follower, then he got involved.
That's it. I'm not saying I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad, but...
No, but look at O'Neal's kids. They all have drug problems.
Tatum.
He brought them up. He was doing coke in the bedroom with his son.
Right.
They got
busted. Redmond,
and Tatum O'Neal, he was drinking with and doing all this other stuff. She's trying to straighten her life out, but, I mean, God.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I do feel sorry for Tatum. I mean, because, you know, I mean, her dad, you know, whatever, and, you know, her mom committed suicide, so, I mean...
What do you think about Ryan? Did you ever watch Peyton Place? You were too
young.
Oh,
I did. I did. Shiloh, you did?
Yeah.
I loved it.
We did.
I loved it.
We did. We loved it.
Yeah.
Well, didn't
I even watch the
Shiloh, I love you. We watched.
I also
the same...
watched the old movie, the original movie.
I did, too.
Wasn't there a book, too?
These kids don't know.
Well, it's a soap opera.
I know,
opera.
But I just didn't get to see it. No,
it was
I know
a
it was
soap
like
opera.
The very
it
first time
soap, soap
opera
at night. They
yep.
showed a soap opera at night.
Yep.
Well, they did when I was a kid, too, with Dallas and Dynasty and Knots Landing and South
yep.
Press.
Not
yep.
like
but,
this.
I mean,
not like this, though.
This was actually
not,
better.
This was a soap opera, right?
Oh, that
Shiloh?
Was pretty tawdry. Peyton Place, yeah.
It was tawdry. It was a soap opera at night.
Yeah.
My mother watched it. We sat down. I was little. She let me watch it. We
Isn't
watched
that
it.
How we all started?
Well, all I'm saying about Ryan, though, is that men at a certain age have PSA tests run every year.
Yeah.
So, obviously, he wasn't going to the doctor.
No.
Because it is very dangerous. I don't think he'll make it because a neighbor of mine, very young, still in his 50s, went to the doctor finally. He was an alcoholic, but he finally went to the doctor for some reason. And they found out that he had a PSA number of some number.
What is PSA?
Yeah.
It's a test of their prostate.
Yeah.
It's a number, a range number that you have to follow.
Okay.
And my husband found out from him, because they used to be our neighbors across the street, and he told Rick what his PSA number came across, and he said, oh, my God. You know, he knew it was serious, and I saw Gary just before he passed away.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it's... These are the kind of tests that, like, mammograms, you know, people don't necessarily want to deal with it. They don't like the test. I don't like the mammogram because it hurts. For
I
me.
Don't mind it.
That's what I was told, that it hurts.
But I've got boobs.
I'm due.
And they try to get them as flat as they can. I mean, I got bruised the last time. I am not happy.
I don't
I'm
think there's
not,
any way I could
it.
Get mine to go flat. I mean,
I
they literally weigh like 15 pounds on my back. I mean,
I
oh, I know. I used to be a 36B. Beautiful. I loved it. Mm. And since I had my daughter, forget it.
I found out when I did the fitting for the dress that I'm in a 40D. I had no clue. I was still wearing B cups that were stretched out to the limit because they were old.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I probably
yeah, but
was putting more pressure on my back.
You don't mind the mammogram. You don't mind the mammogram, right? Because you're bigger.
Huh?
You don't mind the mammogram, right?
I never had one because they won't cover for my age. But I want to do one.
That should be a free pretty soon. That should be a free test pretty soon.
Yeah,
they haven't passed it.
I hope so. I mean... You know,
President Obama's trying to get that kind of stuff passed because it means he's trying to avoid everybody getting sick because they don't have insurance.
It's insane. I know. That's what bothers me. And
Shiloh.
What?
Are you voting for Obama?
Yes, I am. I want
health
care like Canada.
I
do not want people to have to pay.
I love President Obama.
I do, too.
Yep. You guys?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I love the president.
Yeah. I think he's doing a fine job. For considering what he was dealt,
that's
I think he's handling things very, very well. I don't care what any... my whole family's against him.
It took him 4 years to try to straighten out what he was left with. He's
well, and the
doing,
economy's finally turning around.
And
yeah.
jobs, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you guys know there's some jobs you need to help me find one. But yeah, I mean it was so bad though for the last decade. Right. I don't think it's fair to put it at the hands of the last person in line. That's not fair to blame that person.
Correct.
I mean, like, I have this metaphor. Like, I always end up with these cars that are over 10 years old. And then, so, the car always dies on my watch, whether it's an accident or natural causes. But, I mean, most of the time, the natural causes because they're 10-year-old cars. And then people say, like, hey, every car you have, you kill. And it's like, but it's the sum of everything that happened to that car in 10 years, it just happens to die on my watch. You know, it's like the sum of everything that happened in the last 10 years fell in their lap, in the Obama administration's lap. So you can't sit there on day one and say, hey, it's his fault, and I didn't understand that.
I can tell you about Mr. Romney. He was the governor in Massachusetts.
Oh, my God, do not. I told my family, do not vote for this man.
You're from Massachusetts, aren't you? I mean, I don't even know you, but I hear your voice because my brother-in-law is.
He was the governor of Massachusetts. Oh, was he bad. Oh, I live in Massachusetts. Oh, was he bad.
I can tell because the way you talk, my brother-in-law's from Springfield, and he popped
you guys, up. By the way, I hope Blog Talk is really nice to us. But in 4 minutes, we might get caught off, but I don't know if we will.
Okay.
So I want to say, Romney is very bad. He was the governor of Massachusetts, and he was very bad.
I believe he
had Obamacare in Massachusetts, same program, and he's against it now.
Yeah.
We have the same program in Massachusetts that Obama did. Obamacare.
Does it work for you though? Because honestly, I'm about like an hour and a half away, and I was getting in the car. You know, I'm
okay,
in Sellington, Connecticut.
Right? You know.
Yeah, I'm in Sellington, Connecticut, and like literally, like
you
I'm
know,
like, 3 minutes from Hartford.
Most of the countries that are civilized now, the major countries, all have a universal type health care. The majority of those countries live longer than we do. So their health care is good. I've talked to several Canadians because that's the excuse I always hear.
I love
Canada. Canada hates their health system. No, I've heard they love it.
I love Massachusetts health care. It's wonderful.
I didn't know you guys had that.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. Like I said, I'm like right near you guys.
We have
Romney Care.
Romney Care, same as Obamacare. But you know what? One thing I can say, he was never in this state. Never. Never. Never in this state. He was out campaigning.
Right.
Yeah, but he's also, I don't know, you can verify this for me, Kathy. Is he Mormon?
Yes.
Okay.
No. Okay, that's scary. I mean, I'm not judging anybody, but just the things I've heard.
No, they are a very huge base of power.
He's Mormon. He's Mormon.
Mormon? The Mormon movement is huge. I come from Arizona for the majority of my life.
He's fake.
Mm. They have a huge influence in the government, in large companies that most people don't know are powered. Yeah. Trust
me. Scared. I'm very scared.
That's why I told my family. I sent them a recent news article. I said, this is why. You better not do this.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
it's funny.
No, Romney. Please, I live in this state. He never was here. He was never here. He was around the country doing stuff. He was never here. He is no good. He was no good to the state. Okay, he gave us Romney care. Now he's fighting against Obama.
Okay, you guys. All I gotta say is
vote for Obama.
We will be back next week, just in case. But I'm hoping Blog Talk will be nice to us. Okay.
Okay. Well, it was a good week on the soaps. We got
I want to see what happened. I'm curious. I'm just like really, really curious what it actually does, because I don't know. But I mean, you'll be on the air. Well, I'm on the air.
I want to see Sam tell Jason about the whole thing.
No, I didn't want her to do it. I want her to get caught for the tramp she is.
But she's going to tell him.